3 hours of conversation cussing and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! Goodness gracious, wasn't it a busy little weekend for the Morans? Holy mackerel! Oh yeah, it is Moran Monday on the horn, without a doubt. Absolute LA freeway traffic jam sized lines of little clown cars pouring Morans out into the Moranosphere. We got oodles of Morans for Moran Monday. Deadly Morans, crazy Morans, stupid Morans, illiterate Morans, 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 Morans. Hurry, hurry, hurry. Get your program. You cannot tell the Morans one from another without your program. Behind this thin veil of radio canvas, you will see right-wing Morans that will amaze you. Right-wing Morans that will shock you. Right-wing Morans that will stun you. You will laugh. You will cry. You will do it all until you stop on Moran Monday on the horn. Hurry, hurry, hurry. No, really. There's some real creeps out there this time through. And there's serious stuff. Serious creeps. My God, this bus that went down in Ohio, Michigan, and where else? Of these militia Morans? Morans for Jesus with guns? Look, we know. I realize that there's a bit of an echo chamber going on here since we don't allow the right-wing freakazoids access to the program. But even I was a little, I have to admit, even jaded me, jaded old Bob, was a little bit surprised by the scope of what these goons were capable of inside the with their little militia attack plan. Now, what are these freaks called? Hutteries. They were the Huttery militia. And there's pictures of them out there, all done up in their with their boonie hats and their fatigues and their semi-automatic weapons and yada yada yada. And what they planned on doing was to kill a police officer, which would then bring out police officers en masse, you know, with the bagpiper and the way they do the fallen hero police funeral, and then bomb that. And why were they doing it? Why were they going to try to start this civil war in America? Why? Quote, to keep the testimony of Jesus Christ alive. And what's more, they were going to do it next month. They've been charged with, under indictment, unsealed, seditious conspiracy and attempting to use weapons of mass destruction. They've been doing, military-style training in, well, I'm going to screw this up, either Lenawee or Lenawee County, Michigan, about 35 miles northwest of Toledo. And they've been doing it since 2008. They have a website. Oh, everybody's got a website. And they put their to crazy on to website. Jesus wanted us to be ready to defend ourselves using the sword and stay alive using equipment. The only thing on earth to save the testimony and those who follow it are the members of the testimony till the return of Christ in the clouds. You know, if we put that up on a blackboard and somehow resurrected my poor my poor little grandmother, who was for 60 years a grammar school teacher, and asked her to diagram it, she'd go back into the dirt. Let's try that sentence again. Or those sentences. Jesus wanted us to be ready to defend ourselves using the sword and stay alive using equipment. The only thing on earth to save the testimony and those who follow it are the members of the testimony till the return of Christ in the clouds. Huh? I mean, I know they're nuts and everything, but huh? Let's see. What did they think about? They were thinking about killing a law officer after a traffic stop, during an ambush in a rural community, or by luring a member of law enforcement with a false 911 emergency call. They also considered going after law enforcement officers in their homes with their wives and children, or husbands and children, their loved ones present. And what did they think this was going to do? Well, this is interesting. They said it was going to intimidate and demoralize law enforcement, diminishing their ranks and rendering them ineffective. And it would serve as a catalyst for a more widespread uprising against the government. Yeah, because, you know, the government's all out of control. You know, because that one's in our White House. He ain't white. Crazy. No. See? That's the first inclination. You, me, and everybody, oh, they were crazy. They were stone cold, sober, sane, brethren and sistren. Sorry, I'm not supposed to haul that out till Wednesday, but it just kind of calls for it. And there they were in Michigan. This is breathtaking in its scope. And yet not surprising. You know about it. I know about it. We understand the mindset and where this comes from. You know, this militia business has been fanned by everyone from Michael Savage to Rush Limbaugh to Sean Hannity to Glenn Beck. It's been fanned on right-wing blogs and websites all over the country. And now everybody's looking around at each other going, "They were going, why would they do such a thing? They must be crazy." What have I said repeatedly, time after time after time? They walk among you. How many times did somebody walk past Captain Huttery in the Walmart there, somewhere near Pottawatomie, Michigan, or whatever the hell it was he lived? How many times did somebody walk? Oh, it's just another face in the crowd. Because they don't all stand around, you know, screaming John Birch Society slogans and talking about their precious bodily fluids and fluoridation. And they don't do that. They just look like your average, ordinary people of Walmart Walmarters. And you might be standing next to them in the post office, or you might be pumping gas opposite one of them down to the Rippy Mart. This country is poisoned. Poisoned. With right-wing hate and right-wing sedition. We have much more to fear from the Huttery types than we do from any berobed, beturbaned, 6'7" Arab with a portable dialysis machine living in a cave somewhere in the tribal area of Pakistan. These people didn't want to kill 3,000 people like the September 11, 2001 hijackers did. They wanted to kill thousands more. They wanted to get a real, live, honest to goodness, you betcha, civil war started. The only thing is, how is that whole civil war thing going to work out? What with them being in Michigan and all? Would they eventually have to move to Massabamaja? Iana? This is Massabamagiana says this is? Yeah, that, right. You know, the Confederate States of America. How are they going to? But you watch. You watch. And you know what? I'll apologize if I'm wrong, because, you know, this is not right-wing radio, and I do not feel like I am somehow infallible. I've been known to get stuff decidedly wrong from time to time. I've even nominated myself on Moran Monday over it. But you watch. Pay attention to the reportage. I saw some of it on Fox today, because it's the, Bob, why are you watching? It's the only news channel I get on basic cable, and God knows we can't afford satellite or anything like that. A Christian group that certainly doesn't seem very Christian had some very violent plans. That was the lead line for the story on Fox. Well, granted, I would submit to you that if you have a look at Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, if you must, there's not a lot in there about Jesus telling people, you know, take up thy M16 and follow me. It's just not there. But, you know, even if there's a little scrap, there's always some right-wing fundamentalist who will be more than happy to exploit it. You will recall that we went to war against the people of the nation of Iraq with the blessing of the Southern Baptist Convention, who did so saying, well, Peter had a sword. That means Jesus was not nonviolent, you know, and render unto Caesar that which is Caesar's, and go blow the snot out of Saddam, USA, 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 praise Jesus. You know, let me just say this, and I don't believe in snitching. I don't believe in being an informer or a pigeon or anything like that. But especially if you live in a reddish state, keep an eye out for these nutcases, and don't be afraid to call ATF or the FBI. You're not doing the wrong thing if you do that. You might just be saving a life. You might just be saving several of them, as a matter of fact. And I feel kind of creepy saying that. Yeah, and by the way, Renee Louise, otherwise known as Thunderstone in the chat room when she can get in, just dropped me a note to say, by the way, did you catch this statistic as well, Bob? A recent report by the Southern Poverty Law Center found the number of right-wing militias tripled last year from 42 to 127. Really? Thanks, Renee Louise. And at the, I feel like it's almost unfair to do to include these right wing freaks, these right wing Christian freaks, in Moran Monday, lest someone think that, oh well, yeah, he's calling them Morans, he means they're inconsequential fools. Uh-uh. No. No, they're dangerous fools. They're dangerous fascist fools. And they're willing to use the Bible to get their way. And knowing that it was Moran Monday, our good friend Rick Goodner, horn psychotherapist Rick Goodner, sent along a video for me. And, you know, Rick's down in Texas. And Rick simply said, in Texas, Moran Monday is every day. This is it. It shows it. Texas is another name for Moran. I'm so ashamed. What is he ashamed about? Well, this.
Gaston, first word of a possible book ban, and tonight some students are actually working to show support for the book. Eyewitness News reporter Deborah Wrigley joins us now live from Conroe. Deborah?
Harry Potter books have been the basis of complaints before, but now a book that's been on literary list for years is suddenly being thrust into a debate over what's appropriate reading material for students at this Conroe school.
Got all this stuff in it.
It was first published 53 years ago, Fahrenheit 451, said to be named for the temperature at which paper burns. In this world, no free thought was allowed, and books were destroyed by fire.
Well, what sort were these then, Montag?
I didn't really look, sir. A little bit of everything. Novels, biographies, adventure stories.
2 weeks ago at Caney Creek High School, a 10th grade English class was given Fahrenheit 451 as a reading assignment, but Diana Verm stopped after a few pages. What do you...
Diana Verm is the student, of course. Diana Verm.
What do you find objectionable about it?
The cussing in it and then the burning of the Bible.
But the burning of a lot of other books, too.
Right.
Yeah, it was in this here book, which is fiction and imaginary, they burned some imaginary Bibles. And Jesus don't like that. No, really, you think I'm overreacting. You think I'm mocking, don't you? No, I'm not.
She complained to her father she was given an alternate reading assignment, but her dad is pushing the issue. It is ironic in the true sense of the word that a fictional book on book banning is now the target of a request to remove it from school curriculum.
With God's name in vain being in there, that's number one reason. And
this is Alton Verm. And I swear he's standing in something in front of something, and the word, the sign on the wall reads, you can see the word fuel. I think he may sell propane. Propane. I'm sorry, you have to say it that way. Propane. You know, just like Hank Hill. But he doesn't like the fact that in the Bible, or in this here book, they take the Lord's name in vain. Now, granted, Alton Verm doesn't have the first flippin' clue of what take the Lord's name in vain actually means. You know, and it's odd. I had this conversation with my son the other day about whether or not GD is taking the Lord's name in vain. And I would just about bet that our resident minister of the gospel, Brother Tobias, would probably confirm what I told my son, that simply yelling GD when you drop a hammer on your foot is not taking the Lord's name in vain. That in fact the concept of taking, see, there it is. Brother Tobias says, no, it isn't. It's much more complex than that. But try to tell that to Alton Verm, who don't like taking the Lord's name in vain.
...target of a request to remove it from school curriculum.
With God's name in vain being in there, that's number one reason. And then there's no reason for it being read.
The school Nicholas appointed a committee to review his objections, but students are now circulating a petition in support of the book. Friday, they say they'll be wearing T-shirts voicing their opinions.
This was probably one of the greatest eye-openers that we've had in our school curriculum.
Now, that's Daryl Lee, who looks surprisingly like the Protestant rendering of the image of Jesus. Long, stringy, sort of the honey brown hair and a little wispy beard. And now I got to tell you, I'm not sure when this went down. But does it really matter? Does it really matter if it was this week, last week, or last year? This is emblematic of ignorance. And frankly, the difference between Alton and the Muslims that want to kill the Muhammad with the bomb turban, with the white bomb turban cartoonist, you know, what is the difference? A fundy is a fundy is a fundy, with all due apologies to Gertrude Stein. But bless his heart, Daryl Lee is actually trying to get something out of his high school education in Texas, and Lord knows that's a challenge to begin with.
Wearing T-shirts voicing their opinions.
This was probably one of the greatest eye-openers that we've had in our school curriculum. A lot of the people who did sign said that of all the books they had to read, this is the one they enjoyed. It really makes you, you know, think about your situation.
And under the heading of timing is everything, it is coincidental perhaps that this book assignment was made during what we are told it was National Banned Book Week. A committee will investigate the basis of the parents' complaints. In Conroe, Deborah Wrigley, 13 Eyewitness News.
And we have just received a copy of the complaint filed against the school by Alton Verm. In the report, he lists
his objections. Block print, he has scrawled Fahrenheit 451, Ray Bradbury. Page 197, drunk. Page 199, bought cigarettes, beer. Page 201, drunk, smelling being spelled, of course, S-M-E-L-L-E-N, smelling like. Page 203, drunk. Page 15, S-O-D, late, I can't read it, he's illiterate. Page 28, or maybe page 218, cigarettes.
Each objected item, line by line.
Page 70, slapped face, shook her. Page 75, dirty talk. Page 76, dirty talk.
Page numbers. Besides bad language and violence.
Page 80, Bible. And then there's one, oh, this is just precious. He cites that the book downgrades Christians. And then his other objection is the book is downgrading our farm men. I asked a horn psychotherapist, Rick Goodner, if he had a date for this, and he said, sorry, I don't have a date on it. But the Moran likely thought it was Michael Moore's book, Fahrenheit 9/11. As you can see, he's about as dumb as they come. Hell, the words God damn are used in many times in the Bible itself. God damned the sinners. I guess he wants the Bible banned, too. Oh, Morans. There is hope. The comments coming from two separate directions. On the one hand, young Mr. Lee sounds like he's creeping up on that thing that scares the fundies the most, edumacation. And coming in from Kate the following, I love the delicious taste of irony in my mouth. This is just too fabulous. God has saved us from ignorance. Thank you, Rick. And the kids are protesting in support of the book. It's the youngins who'll save us. Marty asking, sorry to ask of you, Bob, but is he white? Oh, yeah, Marty, he is so white. You know, come on, did you not hear that? Yeah, and they're downgrading the farm. And yeah, he's afraid that if it gets around that his daughter read the book, well, you know, if one of the propane tanks blows up, the fireman won't come and put out the fire. Because it says bad things about the Bible and firemen in there. Yeah, Tobias, I know. But it's video and we can't show that on the radio yet. I could have told you that he was white, says Tobias. Marty noting, this is the same as blacks trying to ban Mark Twain's The Adventures of Huckleberry Finn for the use of the N-word without understanding, remembering, or caring that the story is that of the kids in the story coming to understand and accept the humanity of all. Correct me if I'm wrong, please, Bob. No, that's absolutely correct. Marty. It is a sort of pilgrim's progress down the Mississippi River. And Cindy in the Great Northwest noting, taking the Lord's name in vain is when you use the power of the name of the Lord to scare someone. That is taking the name of the Lord in vain so that you can uplift your position, ergo vanity, in your society. It is a damnable thing. And Cindy is, of course, 100% guaranteed, rock solid, correct in that assessment. This is... But what do you expect? What do you expect? Honest to God, what do you expect when there are moves afoot to actually, you know, do things like remove Thomas Jefferson from world history classes in Texas and replace him with Jean Calvin? John Calvin? This is what you wind up with. Oh, and by the way, for those of you out there who are not subscribers to Newsmax, I got this one for you. Because this is the current cover. This is just delightful. The current cover of Newsmuck magazine, you know, this is that right-wing birdcage liner that is partially funded, I believe, by Richard Mellon Scaife. The cover of Newsmuck this week has a kneeling white guy figure with long hair who looks a lot like young Mr. Lee from the previous news piece from Texas. Kneeling, holding his arms up, he's got a little cape over, he's thrown back over his shoulders, and it's the Jesus question. Will he ever return? And you just knew this had to happen, because, what was it, a few months ago when we found out that survey results showed that the incredible numbers of fundamentalists believe that... What was it, 30% believe that Barack Obama is the Antichrist, and another 50% checked off the box that said, not sure? Yeah. In this article, Barack Obama is painted as a globalist, and that, of course, is roundly condemned in the section that's devoted to biblical prophecies. Satan shall deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, and shall gather them together to encircle and attack Israel. That's from Revelations 20, 7 through 9. But the astonishing thing was the Jesus that they put on their cover. This incredibly pale European fellow. You know, 6'2", eyes of blue, boy oh boy, that ain't no Jew. It is absolutely, astonishing that that kind of stuff is still being propagated in the world today. Tobias noting, I follow a dark-skinned anti-war socialist who gives free health care to others. You know, Christ. But Jesus wants the Hutteri militia to use equipment. We do not yet know whether it was powered by propane. But that's not all. This is the Moran Monday from hell. Last but not least, we have, no, it's not even last. There's more. This is the world's biggest Moran Monday Ginsu edition. But wait, there's more. Now, remember, the Hutteri militia is standing up for Jesus. Right? And so was Alton Verm, who wants that there Fahrenheit 451 book. He wants it banned because it says goddamn in it, and it talks bad about our farming and has scenes where they smoking and buying beer and cigarettes and talking bad and stuff. So it's clear that right-wing fundamentalist Repiglicans, in other words, the entirety of the Repiglican Party, it's clear that they don't take kindly to things that talk bad about farmen, or what else, or partake in drinking. There's all kinds of beer buying in that Fahrenheit 451. Yeah, and they don't take kindly to talking bad about guns, and they're not real crazy about women getting all uppity. Well, you just gotta wonder, if you know what I mean. How this is going to play. We're talking, of course, about Republican National Committee Chairman Michael Steele. Come on, is there one more whip crack in here, Jimmy?
Halloween.
Nope. Yeah, well, Michael Steele, the chairman of the Republican National Committee, certainly likes where he's been. He's been racking up some tasty bills. He travels well. February Republican National Committee trip to California included a $9,099 stop at the Beverly Hills Hotel, a $6,596 the payout at the nearby Four Seasons. And then there was this. $1,946.25 dropped at a little place called Voyeur West Hollywood. West Hollywood? Really, Michael? West Hollywood? God, aren't there all kinds of, like, sexual deviance and non-repig-licking family values people in West Hollywood, Michael? Oh, Jesus! Voyeur West Hollywood just happens to be a bondage-themed nightclub featuring topless women, dancers, imitating lesbian sex. And I don't think this is like the scene in the National Lampoon's the Las Vegas Vacation where Clark Griswold goes off to look for his daughter in the stripper bar. Mary? Mary Cheney? Your daddy told me to come looking for you. No, this ain't that. a rave review of Voyeur West Hollywood on Yelp.com says the following. There are topless dancers acting out S&M scenes throughout the night on one of the side stages. There's a half-naked girl hanging from a net across the ceiling, and at one point I walked to the bathroom and pretty much just stopped dead in my tracks to watch two girls simulating oral sex in a glass cage. Hanging with Mr. Michael, you know? When a question was put to RNC Communications Director Doug Heye, H-E-Y-E, who knows, he patiently explained, well, it takes money to make money. Okay, thanks for clearing that up. Doug? Takes money to make money. Yeah, rolling in from David in Tennessee. Road trip! John Fox noting Republicans into the bondage of women. Who'd have thunk it? Okay, it's 24 minutes before the hour of 7 p.m. here in Eastern Daylight Time land. And I've had enough. So we're going to take a little break, and we're going to come back to your phone calls. Because I got to get me some relief. You know the number, of course, 877-443-2366. 877, the numeral 4, head on. If you want to do it on your nickel, it's 304-658-3333. Email comes into Bob Kincaid, B-O-B-K-I-N-C-A-I-D, at gmail.com. Stand not upon the order of your dialing, but dial at once. Because this is the horn. This is Conversation Radio.
Thank you.
my God, Mike, don't forget your raincoat. Why do I have this vision in my head of that wonderful scene in the film version of Jerzy Kosinski's Being There with Peter Sellers looking at the guy at the cocktail party saying, I like to watch. Get an eye full, Michael. Gotta spend money to make money. Hoo-wee. And yeah, go out to Sodom and Gomorrah and take one for the team, Chairman Steele. We did it for the donors. It was dirty, nasty, bad, bad work. But we did it. We did it for American exceptionalism. God bless America. Let's go to the phones. What do you say? Why not? Hey, welcome to the program.
Hey, Brother Bob.
Brother Albert.
How are you?
Yeah.
Yeah. More ants. It's unbelievable.
They're everywhere.
They're thick. Oh, they're thick.
And you know, how do you think the Pastor Whackbottom of the first apostolic holiness church and herpetological seminary feels about his $100 donation to the RNC being used to, you know, go to the Voyeur West Hollywood?
Publicly or secretly?
Well, see, you've obviously identified the problem.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he might have preferred a Leatherman bar, probably the way these pigs have been going lately. Oh, so we got militiamen and next door to me.
Yeah, that's got to be not feeling so good.
Yeah, I mean, I was reading some of their. What the FBI had on them in regards to some of what their plans are. These people, they're freaking terrorists. This is the kind of crap that freaking the insurgents in Iraq do, and what the Taliban are doing in Pakistan and in Afghanistan. This is, I don't even understand.
I know. Here, let me see if I can help. You know, you've got subway security in the U.S., especially in New York City, doubling up, you know, on bomb-sniffing dogs and walking around with their really scary guns in the New York subway today because of what happened in Russia I guess it's yesterday there now. You know, two women with lots of explosives strapped to them bombed the Culture Square station in Moscow and the Lubyanka station in Moscow. A lot of people killed, a lot of people hurt, and a lot of damage. And so, you know, so New York and other cities ramp up their security in their subway systems. But the thing is, even assuming for a moment that the Russian explosions were brought on by what Russia persists in doing in Chechnya, mm-hmm. even assuming that, the guys in the subways in the U.S. are never going to spot the ones who are going to unleash hell on earth because they're just going to look like regular, white, safe, normal Americans.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll say, God bless you, brother, and things like that, and then they'll blow you to hell.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's all, you remember Saving Private Ryan? You remember the fundamentalist Southern sniper up in the bell tower? Uh-huh. Praying to Jesus to put another round through another Nazi skull. You remember that? You remember that wackadoodle?
Yes, sir.
Him! And there's thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of them, crawling like roaches all over the United States of America, Albert.
Yes, sir. Taking their marching orders from the likes of Ted Nugent. That brave American.
Oh, yeah. Did you catch that?
Mm-hmm. Yep. Kill the pig.
Kill the pigs.
Yeah. I mean, I thought Neil Cavuto was going to faint because I haven't seen that. There ain't a lot of more piggish-looking bastards on TV than Neil Cavuto.
No, he's got them little piggy eyes. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You can just know what frying his belly would be like. Cavuto, lettuce, tomato. Mm-mm-mm. Isn't Cavuto even a type of ham? Something like that.
No, that's prosciutto, but close enough.
Yeah, we can make.
Oh, you are working on the toaster tonight, Albert.
Gee, it's a non-ending torrent of filth, moranity. I mean, you're talking about Michael Steele going to some, you know, chain club. You know, let's. I mean, maybe I missed it, but you know. It seems like all these charities and right-wingers, look at Hannity, right? They don't want nobody to have, you know, socialized health care or any kind of, you know, and sort of health care to them is regulation of insurance companies, you know?
Right.
They don't want any of that, but, you know, they'll certainly take their stretch SUV limousines and private, you know, Lear jets with, you know, three flight attendants and, you know, a sushi chef and a... You know, they can cook in front of you, and a little hibachi grill. I mean, you know, the level of hypocrisy of these people is just unbelievable. The level of stupidity of their supporters is just it's awe inspiring. They're so I just want to drop the bombs. You know that they're so stupid. I was watching that video that you have on the front page there, the good, the bad, the crazy, and all.
Yes.
Or the crazy, the bad, yeah, the crazier and wackier. My God, it just doesn't end. It doesn't end. Everything's socialism with these people. Everything is Antichrist with these people. Everything is Hitler and this and that and hit to this. Well, I didn't see, you know, I haven't seen a terrorist attack in this country yet. Except by the, of course, you know, the Christian extreme over here. And they're...
I was going to say, there is kind of a caveat. I mean, flying right-wingers flying planes into buildings. Well, you know.
Yes, sir. Oh, absolutely. Oh, yeah. Going into museums. And where else have they been? Shooting in
churches.
IRS buildings.
Churches.
Mm-hmm.
Twice in churches. Once to get Dr. Tiller and the other time to get them godless liberal Unitarians is putting on that anti-play. You know, because Bernie Goldberg told him that Unitarians are bad, bad, bad.
I'll tell you even something even a little more aggravating, or actually just, it's humiliating. I went on the Crooks and Liars there, and because, you know, I'm from Wisconsin, so you know how the Internet's getting real smart now, and it knows where you are, and so it, you know, puts regional ads towards you. Well, I got some troglodyte, Mark Newman, trying to run for governor here in Wisconsin. And, you know, of course, you know, Obamacare and all this other just claptrap crap that this guy's spewing out. And he has this ad on Crooks and Liars, which makes me laugh because there ain't nobody on Crooks and Liars that, you know, isn't originally from Free Republic that's, you know, going to be, you know, taking that, you know, hell, people on Crooks and Liars, we want universal health care. I mean, you know, the same thing with the horn. You know, we want single-payer systems over here. This isn't good enough for us. This is bull crap. You know, but, anyway, I click on this ad, and I remember I clicked on it, and I just was like, you know, I'm not signing your petition. I signed the petition, you know, with a fake, phony name. And, of course, they're going to use my name, you know, as one of the numbers. You know, 5,000 people signed this. Yeah, when half of them were named, you know, stupid Republican or something like that. But anyway, you know, just to kind of yell at them a little bit, get my little jab in. So I sat there, and I saw the ad again, and I clicked on it. And wouldn't you see, my mother-in-law was right there in the comment section, misspelling words.
Oh, no.
It's so embarrassing. It's just unbelievable. And then
you're really, really honest-to-goodness mother-in-law.
I swear to God. Yeah, I swear to God. Well, whatever. Spaghetti monster, whatever. I couldn't believe it. I called my wife in. I'm like, look at this. And my wife's just like, oh, she can't even spell. And, I mean, it was just...
That's almost TMI. The heartbreak, just in you quoting your darling wife. Oh, she can't even spell.
Yeah.
And what, I mean, excuse me, but what is it? Have you, I mean, nobody, you know, let he who has never typed T-E-H instead of T-H-E cast the first stone.
True.
But if you wander around the series of tubes, you know, it's not a big truck. You'll, and you watch the comments, I would say 3-1. Bad grammar, 3-1 right wing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, are you in agreement?
Absolutely, absolutely. I mean, you know, and I understand when you get into a rant and you get into a tirade and you feel passionately about something, you know, sometimes you can, you know, miss that spell check, and not every place has that edit feature. But right-wingers don't know how to use a spell check. even though the way browsers are designed nowadays is they underline the word in a squiggly red line that this is not correct. Some browsers even correct it as you go. So there's almost like no excuse nowadays to misspell words, and I am a horrid speller. I'm a horrid speller. When you start looking at math equations, I ain't going to help you. If it gets too complicated, I'm just going to say divide by zero. But at the same time, I can use spell check. And at the same time, I mean, the other problem is...
For spell check is your friend. It's all of our friends.
That's what a dictionary is. It's just a quick way to use a dictionary. That's all it is. You know, and a thesaurus is nice, too. And you know, that's fine. You can misspell words. That's whatever. You can spell all the words correctly and still not, you know, reach my level of appreciation because your sentences are incoherent. Your statements are factually incorrect. And, you know, I would love to be able to address their factual inaccuracies, but you can barely decipher what the hell they're talking about because they can't even spell these freaking... It's just unbelievable.
Well,
and, you know, the sad thing is she's an RN. So this is a college-educated person, you know, with four-plus years of college. Actually, she's going to... I think she's almost an NP. So that's really just... And what it is, and I'll tell you what, it's the church. It's the church. The reason that this woman is so stupid is because back in the 60s, she took some acid, and she saw, you know, the geometric patterns with the eyeballs and stuff, and it scared the shit out of her. And so she went right to Christ and, you know, into the zombie God and the living God, whatever you want to call them, and that's where she is now. And so whatever they say, that's the deal. I mean, my wife was
God said it. I believe it. That settles it.
Yep, that's it. End of story. And it's nice to have that kind of, definitive answer, you know, especially, you know, because I've had to address this with my children many, many times where they wake up crying, I don't want to, what happens when we die, blah, 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 blah. You know, and I'm going to come out to them and tell them, you know, well, I don't know. Nobody knows. Nobody knows. And anybody who tells you differently is lying to you. Nobody knows what happens when we die. Nobody. Nobody.
Because nobody's ever sent the memo back.
Yeah, we don't send probes out there and then they send back information. That's just not happening. I'm sorry, that's not the kind of answer. I mean, and it really is. And at a time like that, when your 5-6-year-old is looking at you with tears in their eyes, you know, and a little quivering lip, you know, you want to be able to say, oh, don't worry, honey, there's a heaven. But you don't know that. You know,
oh, yeah, we went down that road, of course, because, well, ours are now officially all teenagers now. You know. At Bob's house, no one can hear you scream. I remember it, and I just looked at him, and you know, trying my Socratic best. I said, "Do you remember being born? Do you remember what it felt like before you were born?" No. It's the other end of the loop.
Yep.
And you know what? It worked because you know the children know when they're being BS'd.
Oh yeah.
And that's
just the kiss on the hand of the boo-boo. The kiss doesn't really make it feel better. I mean, they may.
But the love does.
The love does, sure, but it still doesn't make the, it doesn't heal the wound immediately, and, you know, all that kind of stuff. I mean, you know, they get it.
Yeah. Sure, and then, you know, the right wing just, you know, it has to have these elaborate fantasy games. I mean, my God, Albert. I mean, it's right smack dab here where the Hutteries... You know, that sentence
that... I don't know how to say that.
I know.
What is it? What are they?
I mean, the guy's real name is like David Brian Stone. He calls himself Joe Stonewall, and he calls himself Captain Huttery. Somewhere out there, there's an obscure millennialist reference that tells us what Huttery means, and I'll get an email about it here shortly.
Yeah. I don't really... Honestly, I could...
But this business about... that, you know, we're going to go kill cops to keep the testimony of Jesus Christ alive.
What?
Do you have any idea what, you don't, you know, we've all seen Being John Malkovich, right?
Malkovich.
You know, you don't want to be, don't be in Bob's brain during show prep. I can't tell you the number of times that Agnes comes running back here going, honey, are you okay? Because I've just, you know, let loose this sort of the coprolalia, the Tourette's like string of absolute obscenity. Bob, your grandchildren can hear you. And Agnes will come back here. Are you okay, honey? And I'll just be sitting spitting, just, and pointing at the monitor. And she'll come over and just sort of stroke the back of my little head. It's okay, honey. It's going to be all... Oh, no! And then she'll start it. And that brings... Are you okay? And we're both pointing at the monitor.
Yeah. And they have been just squirming out of the woodwork. It's like pouring Coca-Cola on a cheap pork product from Walmart. And the worms start wiggling out. That's what it's like. That's what Obama's like. He's like Pepsi or Coke or something on cheap pork.
Yeah.
Auschwitz pork.
Jesus wanted us to be ready to defend ourselves against the sword. No.
What the?
No. Jesus wanted us to be ready to defend ourselves using the sword and stay alive. And stay alive using equipment. What does that mean? I mean, look, can we just work that for a minute, Albert? What does that mean?
No,
using equipment? I mean, is that the Coleman camp stove? Or is
that the
double-bladed, serrated-edged dirk that he's got in his boot? Equipment.
That's the mini chainsaw the guy puts on his pistol. So when they get in close. And that's the other funny thing about these cowards. You know, like, there's no funny thing about these guys. They're not funny. This shit ain't funny. It's just disgusting. You know, and it's sad, too, because, you know, they like to fulfill their own prophecies. You know, and in half of my heart saying, you know, like, yeah, granted, they're crazies, yeah, they're this, they're delusional, they're all this other stuff. But at the same time, it's like, you know, they always complain about government oppression and how the government's going to come crack down. Well, you know, when you start making, you know, detailed plans how you're going to shoot a cop because you were speeding, and then during the funeral you're going to bomb and ambush the freaking motorcade. Where's your justification in complaining with that the government's coming to put you in a camp and all the other bull crap that you hear these people yammer on about and jibber-jabber and everything else that they try? Like, in a sense, like, they need to be in some sort of camp. They need to be in, like, a reality re-education camp because these people are so freaking disconnected. Man, they're turning me into a fascist. It's unbelievable. They're so... F-bomb stupid that I don't even understand. It's tough to even communicate with them. How do you get how do you get a telephone line to someone on Alpha Centauri? How do you do it? We can barely get a ship there in 50,000 years, much less a telephone line. They're crazy. They're off the planet. We all knew that Obama was going to bring out the best in them. And I certainly think he is. Another thing, I don't think they got much left. What else do they got? Right? They're already violently opposing. They got how many different little militia networks in on this? You know, that's the other thing to consider. How many of them are there? I never even heard of these Hooter freaks. I never even heard of these freaks. I never even heard of them. I heard of militia in Montana. You know, I've heard
of
them.
Oh, no, Michigan has been chock-a-block with militias going way back to, Oklahoma City. That's where all that stuff got born.
And that's the other thing. You know, they like to pretend like they're in the military or something, but a lot of these guys are too stupid to even, like, they love the military, even though, you know, like...
Whiskey Tango Foxtrot, what's your 20?
Where do you think the cops they're shooting? Where do you think you don't think those guys, I mean, 9 out of 10 cops were served in the military. I don't understand, like, you know, these guys are your idols over here, and now you're going to go and sacrifice them for whatever bull to cause an uprising. That's the real reality, is it? What they want to do is they want to cause a nationwide uprising. Now, listen, man, I had my grief. Everybody did. Anybody with two brain cells to run together with a heart cell had major problems with George Bush. But I don't recall ever saying we needed, you know, to start killing police and then ambushing them to start a...
That's mainly because we didn't.
I don't recall that. I mean,
we
wanted
to sing to them. You know, play them a couple of verses of Kumbaya, you know, and just make it clear to them that we had profound moral reservations about their position.
Seriously. And the path that they were taking us down. You know, I mean, I wasn't, I mean, I just remember saying, oh, you know, we can't go in to invade other countries. Yeah, you know, all right, you guys want to fight about abortion here, and we can talk about that, but, you know, we don't go and invade other countries and doing and all the things that we did. You know, like, those are the problems that I have with it, and those are the problems a lot of people have with it. We, I don't, why should we go kill Iraqis? What did they do? Why should we go do here? Why did we go here? There's no point to any of that kind of stuff. But these people, they want civil war. Like, they think they're going to win. Number one, I mean, these people are so, you know.
Yeah. Well, let me share something with you real quick because. No, you go.
I was just going to say, like, you know, they love their military guys. You know, they love their military jargon and lingo so much. Even though there's this guy on YouTube, right? His name is Gunny Ranger. Gunny Ranger 22 or some bullcrap like that. And if you go on there, you'll see this just obese guy in camouflage and a face mask and a boonie hat, and he's making love to his weapons and all this other
This is my rifle. This is my gun.
Yeah. Yeah, he can't find his gun. But, you know, the deal with this guy, you know, like Gunny Ranger? No. Gunny is a ranking of the U.S. Marine Corps, and Marines are not Rangers. Oh, they're so stupid. They can't even get their ideals right. They can't even get their hero little nonsense nomenclature correct. There's no such thing as a Gunny Ranger. Like, no. I would love to...
Well, and for all of those reasons, and the fact, Albert, that you mentioned that the right wing idolizes the military and thinks that, you know, the military's on their side. I don't know if you saw the photographs of Barack Obama's... appearance in Afghanistan, you know, the crowds of adoring soldiers and all of that. I got two emails yesterday from our buddy Dennis in Kentucky. He's a veteran. And one of them was those photographs that with the slug line in the subject that said, why do they hate him so much? You know, because we're constantly being told, you know, military don't have no respect for Barack Hussein Obama. You know, he's not even a real Merkin. Right? So there's all those photographs of adoring soldiers just reaching to touch, you know, to shake hands, you know, taking pictures, smiling, all of that. Yeah, photo op. But Dennis also sent me this, and this is kind of important, Albert, because it's already been disappeared down the memory hole. When I went to the link, gone. Been removed. And this is allegedly written, and, you know, you always have to say allegedly because it's the Internet and you never know.
True.
Supposedly written by an active duty Marine. And he says the following. For those of you calling for a civil war, I implore you to stop and think about what you're saying. Look around your neighborhood and your city. Now imagine using that terrain to survive. Imagine dodging semi-automatic rifle fire as you scramble from cover to cover, dragging your wounded child behind you. Imagine the deafening report of a mortar as it strikes the ground 150 feet in front of you, the overpressure enough to shatter your teeth and perforate an eardrum. Try and envision a striker rolling through the neighbor's front lawn or an FA-18 making lazy loops over your head in close air support for the troops in the distance. Now I'd like to disperse a myth here. Many of you think that U.S. military would not fight civilians. I can't speak for all, but in my case, and he puts it in bold, the moment you declare civil war, you're no longer civilians. The moment you attack the Constitution, you're now enemies of that Constitution. And I swore to defend and support, if necessary, give my life for that Constitution. And utilize every tool, technique, and weapon at my disposal to do so. And trust me, I'm not alone. The second you start committing acts of violence and vandalism, then you've usurped that Constitution. You, in a way, have assaulted it. And then you and I being every service member who is sworn to defend said Constitution, will have a major problem.
Well.
But, you know, they're going to have a militia.
Yeah. You know, and they raise in there. What is that? The CCR flag? Have you ever heard of this? What is it? The Christ Constitutional Republic or some crap like that?
Oy.
With their big black and red flag with a gold cross on it. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, who could blame? I mean, you know. unarmed civilians, do I ever think the military is ever going to come in? And no. But if you're sitting there, you know, ambushing, if you're going to sit there and kill a police officer and then ambush the funeral motorcade, yeah, I get the Marines. Get them. Because you slugs need to be stomped on and assaulted. Your houses need to be burned to the ground, then detonated. A nuclear weapon needs to be detonated on that, and then they need to salt the earth. So you just
oh, but Albert, what, oh my God! I just got a link sent me from the Huttery website.
No, don't click.
I clicked. And what, you know, that little smart-ass bit of, you know, Whiskey Tango Foxtrot, what's your 20, that I did a minute ago, and we both had a nice little chuckle? Right?
It's real.
I'm just going to share a couple. Feds have raided our homes and are looking for leaders. Head for the Blue Mountain and await instruction from SIM-Z19. This is a Rev 112 situation. Reply. 10-4, good buddy. Smokey is on my tail, too. What's your 20? 20 minutes from Blue Mountain. SIM-Z19 is already there. Blue Mountain location is a trap. Head to Yellow River Bunker. Bring the gold key. Roger, roger. Be sure to double the tinfoil on your headgear. Government mind control kicked into high gear. Copy that, Smokey.
No
over
way.
And out.
No way. You're faking now. Seriously?
I'm tin reading foil? It to you right off the
oh,
website.
Oh, my goodness. Tinfoil. These guys are so stupid.
Two roosters are crowing. Abort the Yellow River Bunker. I grabbed the wrong key. All locations are compromised. Head to Burger Town and defend it. This is our last stand, Christian warriors.
Wow. Wait, so Blue Mountain was compromised. Yellow River is secondarily compromised. So now they're defending Burger Town. What the? I love you.
Right. There. That.
They're so stupid. What are you going to defend? Come on. Where are these guys in Michigan? Are they in, like, the UP or something like that? Can't we send the Canadians down to just gut stomp the hell out of these guys? I mean, they could bring their little horses and their red jackets. They wouldn't be able to do squat, these guys. These guys are the definition of pathetic is the Tea Party movement and all those associated with it. All these militias and all these guys and anybody who's going to sit there and start frothing at the bit like they got 5 pounds of Alka-Seltzer in their mouth over, you know, some health care regulation. And they're going to start, you know, calling for civil war, you know, because, oh, we're going to let kids live with their parents and stay under their insurance till they're 27. You know, so, you know, when they get sick at 21, they don't have a pre-existing. Bob, I'm just thankful that California is just about ready to legalize. And that's what we need to do. We need to have cannabis legalized because they need some sense in this. We need some more common sense in this country.
Can we just take one of those great big mountains of DEA confiscated marijuana, set fire to it, and just blow the smoke at these militia compounds until we hear them cut? You know, it's kind of like tear gas, only fun. And they, you know, come out of the woods going, dude.
I'm sorry. I was being a jackass.
What happened?
Yeah, it's profit building.
I think I just really saw Jesus.
Yeah, there you go. Exactly.
Yeah,
I
didn't have an M16. Anybody got a brownie? Dude, a Twinkie, anything. I'm hungry.
Well, as the prophet Bill Hicks said, not only do I think pot should be legalized, it should be mandatory.
For some right? people, absolutely.
Right? These people sitting
peace
there,
be upon him.
Socialism, fascism, Hitler. Right? Shut up and smoke that. It's the law.
Roger.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was taking it a little too seriously. I mean, honestly, seriously. Prophet Bill Hicks, may peace be upon him. You know, I don't see, you know, I can't see anybody of the adherents of Bill, you know, clearing for some civil war and bullcrap like that. I mean, you know, that's the other thing. Like,
Separate and we just sort of, when they do separate and secede or whatever it is they're going to do, or and we just sort of go about the business of rebuilding the nation. Can one of the first things we do, can we replace Alexander Hamilton on the $10 bill with Bill Hicks?
Oh, please. Oh, absolutely. I'm all for that. He needs to be on a coin or on a bill or on a something. Even a brand of rolling papers, whatever. It doesn't matter. You know, because if you sit there and you look, you know, when you're correct about something, when you're right, you don't have to hit anybody. When you're ethically in the correct position and you're making a stand, like, you know, Martin Luther King, he didn't have to, you know, put fire hoses and, you know, take over some hydrants and spray the police back. They didn't have to do that. You know, they just, in a sense, yeah, they took their lumps, but those lumps, every time those billy clubs hit them, they lost more and more and more. And I don't understand why they, you know, the historical, you know, teachings and the, you know, just these history lessons, these people are so dense that they don't even understand this. It's like the more you, when you offensively do something like this, you lose. You just simply lose. And, you know, I mean, in a sense, I mean, I'm happy they're losing. I don't want these people to win.
I just want them to, you know, on the one hand, this is good news because we got to these freaks before they locked and loaded. Roger, roger. Blue Mountain. We have a Rev 112 situation.
Well, the real sick thing is...
No, I'm proud of... I mean, this is what... I mean, I'm not an authoritarian. But
no,
you know what? This is what we pay. This is what we pay the FBI to do.
Yep.
You know, they do domestic. CIA does overseas. Never the twain shall meet. I like that.
Yep.
And at least the FBI recognized that these guys were a profound danger and were about to start some stuff, you know?
And a real danger. Like, this isn't, you know, 10 unemployed homeless black dudes in Florida trying to get some shoes. So they say, oh, yeah, we'll attack the Sears Tower. Okay. Can I have Nikes? You know, like, they weren't doing that. Like, these guys, I mean, you know, this is a sad thing. We better find where this Blue Mountain is, and they better have some, you know, EOD units out there because, you know, Spaghetti Monster help whoever, you know, set up a booby trap for the feds. And, you know, some little kids, everybody, oh, yeah, kids.
And, you know, the one thing out of this story, Albert, is that the last I checked, the son, the 19-year-old, heavily armed, highly enraged, profoundly Jesus, armed to the Jesus, what did Bill Murray call it? Armed to the bejesus belt. You know, that guy's still on the run. So, you know, don't know what he'll do. I hope they've caught him by now. Albert, this has been wonderful. It's so good to hear from you, and it's been a while. I hope everything's been all right.
Oh, yeah, we've just been reading and learning and trying to keep out of the frothy craziness a little bit. Just letting the warmth. We got a little de-thawing going on here in Wisconsin. I mean, we had spring and, you know, and then it hit back to 40s and 50s. So, you know, tomorrow's supposed to be 70s. So, you know, I'm coming out of hibernation mode now. And it's just, there isn't a better time, is it? Yeah.
See. No. I get you. All right. I copy that Whiskey Tango Foxtrot.
Give me a burger.
Talk to you later, Albert. Bye now.
Bye-bye.
That's the sage of Southwest Wisconsin. That's our brother, Albert. And we roll onward. Hey, welcome to the program.
Bob.
Sandra.
You must be, maybe I missed it, but you must be a happy man today.
Oh, I'm a very happy man.
And listen, they get to play Duke. Are you kidding me? I'm so excited because Duke is going to get their ass whipped.
Oh, I don't even dare think that, Sandra.
Okay, well, see, that's...
But I'm happy that you are.
No, you don't. I understand you are right there, but for me... I'm way across country, and what I see is some chumps. They're about to get played. Now, I could come back and eat my words on this, but that Virginia team, they tough. That's some hard-ass playing, so we'll see.
And the guy with the crippled foot says he's coming back and playing on it, and nobody can keep him off the court.
And with the broken...
Yeah, the broken fifth metatarsal or something.
Okay. Oh, really? Well, listen, I mean, wouldn't you? God, what kind of opportunity is this? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But I'm just thinking, just in general, I mean, I know Duke is whatever, but no. That West Virginia team is pretty scrappy. I mean, come on now. they took it to Kentucky. I'm like, ooh, wow.
And kind of made them, and kind of made them eat it and smile. You know, that was the fun part.
I was like, hello? You know, I didn't, I mean, I wasn't too sure what to expect, but I didn't think that, you know, I don't know.
It's been a long time since I've seen a team start the power fouling game at like 5 minutes to go in the game.
What?
And that's what Kentucky did. But you know what? Here's the fun part. You're going to love this. Our buddy Corey in Louisville. I'm sorry, you have to say Louisville. Our buddy Corey in Louisville, I checked in. I got a note from him today saying, I'm donating I'm contributing $7 to the horn, and I'm going to contribute for every point in the margin of victory from now until West Virginia is the national champions.
Well, and also, the coach of West Virginia, he is a scary interview. I was listening. I'm like, dude, lighten up. He hella deep. That's who.
Oh, yeah. Like,
don't mess.
No. He is in the zone. I caught an interview with him where he was talking about the scene when they got back from New York. Saturday night.
Mm.
And he said there were thousands. Now you gotta understand, when we talk about an airport in Morgantown, West Virginia, I've flown in and out of it.
Mm.
It is little more than a brick. It's a small brick building and one runway, and a windsock at one end. I mean, you know. The tower is a treehouse, and he said there were thousands of people at the airport, and they thought, wow, this is pretty cool. You know, 1 o'clock in the morning, thousands of people at the airport, and they get back to the Coliseum, which is their home on the WVU campus. There are thousands and thousands more.
Well, I mean, in the interview, he was talking about how, oh no, in West Virginia, they pipe that game wherever you may be in the mind, wherever. I was like, damn. You know, it just was, he was really sort of,
this,
meanwhile.
Sandra, this whole state is vibrating like a struck tuning fork.
Just because, you know, he's real sort of, you know, there is no, it just seems real straightforward and, you know, somewhat threatening. The guy who was talking to sounded like, you know how them wimpy sports people sounded?
Yeah.
He really couldn't handle it. And it was hilarious, but I'm like, damn, boy, okay.
Yeah, Bob Huggins is all business at this point. He said, you know, when we came back from the Big East tournament, we held an open practice and 12,000 people showed up. We're not doing that anymore. We're closing practices and we're going to take care of business. And we're going back to Indianapolis. And you want to talk about some confidence. Somebody said to him in an interview, this must feel pretty special. Coach Huggins looked at him and said, two more games and it'll be real special.
Shut the hell. Yeah, no, that's right. I mean, you know, and of course, like you said, you can't sit here and say, oh, it's a done deal for Duke. But you know what? I saw the Duke. You know what I mean? It's all right, but it certainly ain't. It doesn't seem to be as serious as Mr. Huggins and his people. Good Lord.
Yeah, but you got to remember, Duke are thugs. I mean, you know, going all the way back to, you remember Christian Laettner?
Dude was all
beaver cleaver in front of the cameras, but when nobody was looking, nobody threw elbows harder, meaner, or dirtier than that. And that's the, you know, that's Krzyzewski ball. You put out that leave it to beaver, clean cut, you know, pretty smart white boy attitude. And then when nobody's looking, you're stomping, gouging, you know, kidney punching, you know. That's the kind of ball he teaches. He's a thug coaching thugs.
No, I saw some of the monsters that he got on his team. So them some biggest corn fed looking white boys I'd ever seen. I'm like, yikes, you know, ho ho ho. And but still, I don't know. I'll be it'd be popcorn for that one for sure, man.
Exactly, but you know, we're all just sitting here. You hear this? The entire state of West Virginia is just freakishly drumming its fingers, waiting for next week.
Yeah, no, I mean it's sort of it should be interesting. You know what? I cannot believe that Michigan State got in again. I'm like, damn. You know, he don't get enough credit. Ain't this two in a row?
Yeah, it is. But you know what? Tennessee's got nothing to hang their heads over. They played a hard-ass game.
Oh, that game was off the hook. But I was, you know, once again, I was like, damn, again. Michigan State just sort of, you know, they sort of creep in. You don't hear a whole bunch of hubbub about that, but they keep showing up, you know?
Yeah, and you know what? They're a point. Michigan State is a point and a half dog to Gonzaga or Butler already, right now.
Down?
Yeah, getting a point and a half.
I don't know. See, I'm not an expert, but I would have to go with Michigan. You know what I mean? Just because of the coaching is like, wow, you know?
Yeah. But that's because, you know, it's basically home court advantage for Butler because they're an Indianapolis school.
Yeah, but, you know, that's all, you know, they already running that narrative. I'm not fooling. I'm not falling for it. I saw that Michigan team. I'm sorry.
Yeah,
anyway.
Yeah, they are not slouches by any stretch of the imagination.
You know, but anyway, onward. My boy, Steele. Hello. Them white people didn't know what the hell they was appointing. I thought to myself, this nigga was going to lose his mind, and he has, and it's hilarious.
Oh, you know, there's a voyeuristic side of me that just wants to fly across country and just take a walk around the voyeur West Hollywood and see what it was Michael went there for.
Well, West Hollywood, I've been, listen, you never been?
No.
West Hollywood.
I'm country mouse, okay?
Now, West Hollywood is, you know, yeah, it's fun times. You know, it got anything you might want. That, you know what, he still ain't resigned yet, though?
No, you have to spend money. I loved Doug Hagee, the press guy's response to it all. Well, you got to spend money to make money. On what?
Oh, my God.
That was his explanation.
That's as bad as Patrick Ewing. We make a lot of money, but we also spend a lot of money. You know?
Worse in my book. And you know what? It's not all about the Voyeur West Club because, you know, there was some serious coin dropped at the Beverly Hills Hotel, $9,000. Now, I understand it's the Beverly Hills Hotel, but what are you spending when you're dropping nine large?
You know, Michael Steele kills me because he's what my sociopathic side would be. Some Negro who could run the right wing game and get paid. But since I have concerns about folks, you know, I won't go that route. Same thing with this other couple of other black chicks I know who run in this right wing game. It's a load. They just getting paid. Because ain't nobody believing it. But Steele, I'm not believing it either. But them whiteys are, because they still got them in power, and it's hilarious.
Hey, look, we have a brown man leading the Republican National Committee. See, we're not racists.
However he wants to get over. I'm sorry.
You know, it was a long time ago when John Lennon wrote "Whatever Gets You Through the Night."
No, and you know, I mean, and okay, yeah, I'm being a little bit facetious, but it's also really funny because of who was happening to. It couldn't happen to a nicer party. They're getting it from both ends. They don't know what the hell they're doing. We got home bitch up there talking about reload, and it's just like, hello?
Yeah, and by the way, while she was preaching against violence in Searchlight, Nevada over the weekend, somebody in her crowd was getting Altamonted. You know, some libertarian in the crowd got a righteous stomping.
Really?
Yeah, oh yeah. Saw that just in passing reference on the... let's see. On the one hand, Sarah Palin is trying to say her Facebook posting, this from Crooks and Liars, her Facebook posting that has guns pointed at Democratic politicians wasn't pushing violence, even though it has had districts in crosshairs. But during her McCain rally, I'm sorry, it was a McCain rally, not Searchlight, several protesters were forcibly kicked out, and one guy was yelling that he's a libertarian and was getting the crap kicked out of him.
No, but I mean, was it Albert that just called?
Yeah.
You know, he just called it right, just the stupid, you know, just so, I mean, so stupid. You can't even, I mean, Albert could barely even voice how, you know, because it's true. It's just, they seem to be so dumb. And they take any amount of information from their dumb leaders, or maybe not so dumb leaders, but it's stunning. I don't know if it's a failure of the education system, lack of critical thinking, but come on. Already.
Yeah.
Enough of the people getting Social Security, Medicare, and the like talking about how we need to abolish government. I really can't take it.
I've kind of got a life. I don't have to have the William Shatner speech. You know, hey, Bob, why don't you go out and get a life? I trawl around through the inner tubes, and there's other places I go that aren't political that are fun. But I ran across a thread over the weekend about, you know, are we, there it was again, you know, some right wingers say, are we losing our rights? And at first, you know, you know, I can't help it. I took the bait. I know I'm stupid, but you know, I typed out this reasonable little essay about no, we're not. And, you know, please point out the rights that you think we're losing. And lo and behold, you know, just like the sun rises in the east, Sandra, here comes some dude who types in, well, we're losing our right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. It's right there in the Constitution, them unalienable rights. You can't be separated from them because they're inalienable. It's in the Constitution.
Oh, no. You know what? That's as bad as what you said before about them people saying keep your tinfoil hat on. I don't believe you on that, and I don't believe this.
I don't have 3 hours a night to sit here and just lie to you, Sandra. I don't.
Oh, my God. You know, it's just because that one just, I was like, stop drinking. I stopped doing what I was doing because I was afraid I was going to destroy something. When you're talking about what you read on that website, that was fantastic radio, and it really should be.
Well, and, you know, I wish it was difficult. It is not. Because, I mean, just like that thing that I saw on that thing over the weekend with the it's inalienable rights, it's right there in the Constitution. You know, that's from the Declaration of Independence. And so because this one piece from The Onion has been forever seared into my brain. It's the one, the headline, Area Man Passionate Defender of What He Imagines Constitution to Be. And you know how it is with The Onion. Sometimes it's satire that's just a little too close to reality, Sandra.
Just a little, yeah.
And according to Mortensen, an otherwise mild-mannered husband, father, and small business owner, the most serious threat to his fanciful version of the 222-year-old Constitution is the attempt by far-left traitors to strip it of its religious foundation. Right there in the preamble, the authors make their priorities clear. One nation under God, said Mortensen, attributing to the Constitution a line from the Pledge of Allegiance. And lo and behold, you know, that's funny, you know, ha-ha, it's The Onion, Bob. And then I see it in real life. It's right there in the Constitution, them unalienable rights, life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness.
No, it's just, but it's really disturbing because this is what's informing these people. And they're just being played like instruments. And I just, you know, I have no way of understanding how to combat it. It's stunning to me. At first I just thought, oh, you know, can't be, but it seems to be expanding, not contracting.
Well, it is. I mean, you know, look, the Southern Poverty Law Center, that statistic I had earlier in the evening, we went from 42 paramilitary militia groups last year to 127 this year.
Well, who was them Dems they arrested today?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, that's scary. I was like, oh, my. It really is, you know.
And you know, the right wing, do you remember when they were howling about the Obama re-education camps and how everybody, all the right wingers were going to be hauled away and re-educated, you know, just like Pol Pot?
Permanent FEMA.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, those things really were built and verified, you know, in the George W. Bush administration. But they were meant to hold folks like, you know, Katrina victims. But anyway, you know, I'm going to say this, and I will probably come to regret it. I don't want re-education camps for right-wingers, Sandra. I want education camps for right-wingers. In other words, I want to get them together and just sit them down, give them cookies and milk and have little bathroom breaks and stuff like that, and teach them what's actually in the Constitution as opposed to what they have been told by a bunch of godforsaken right-wing liars to believe is there. You know, we're not going to, you know, it's not going to be some sort of Scientology, you know, mind-warping camp in the desert. You know, we'll have nice little tablecloths and computers, and you can have your very own copy of the Constitution.
are you making a reference to them poor people who was worked like slaves?
Yes.
That is out of this world. And, you know, once again, where's the outrage? Where's the coverage? And I hope they get paid. Scientology, you know, I always thought that that was just way warped, you know? Because when I was growing up, every other place I went, I had somebody trying to get me to fill out some survey. I'm like, back up and get away. They're everywhere. At least in California. It's huge out here.
Oh, and you know, at least with Almay, I mean, not Almay, at least with Amway, you know, you get some laundry detergent out of it.
Oh, no, but Amway, you know, that just spawned Blackwater, didn't it?
You know, I think there may be a connection. Yeah, yeah, that's one of those 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon things, yeah.
And that's and then them freaks that own, is it the Orlando the Magic? That's all hooked up with that, too, I think.
Oh, dear God. They're everywhere.
Yeah. No, it's everywhere, but, no, you really are onto it with these people who don't have any way of evaluating information. And that is a worry as we go forward, or whatever you want to say, because how do you address that deficit?
See, that's too complicated. You know, how do you deal with the deficit? Well, you send George Will onto one of the Sunday Babblehead shows to say that Paul Krugman's Nobel Prize was in economics, not in practical Washington wisdom. So there. George Will really did say that.
I mean, these people who don't have any kind of understanding, you know, like not understanding what a right is and equating having access to health as diminishing their rights. I mean, it's so beyond stupid.
And you know, that's one of the reasons that some of this stuff, and I hope the White House understands it, has to kick in quick. You know, the stuff that kicks in, they've got to get kicked in quick, because I don't know if you saw the story over the weekend or not, but Blue Cross Blue Shield broke out all pre-existing condition on a 10-day-old newborn.
Yeah, no, it's chronic. And, you know, those stories are just heartbreaking, and they just continue. I thought that was supposed to kick in for children in November, 6 months.
Right, but see, there was a loophole, and by the way, the insurance industry came out today and said, well, you know, this Obamacare is just going to make people's bills go up.
No. That's the thing. It's like, that's why the fact that they don't have any controls is a huge problem for this bill.
And I know you and I have been very, very, we've given very short shrift to the whole nine-dimensional chess Obama Juan Kenobi thing. But you know what? If the insurance companies, Sandra, continue to do this kind of evil crap, isn't that going to make it obvious that the insurance companies can no longer be trusted, if they ever could be, to participate in anything having to do with health care in the United States?
Well, I mean, yeah, but I'm not going to attribute that to some sort of, you know, Obi-Wan Kenobi thing, because I do believe that Obama believes in market solutions. I'm going to attribute it to the fact that that solution is crap, and it's just going to reveal itself because it's already 17% of our GDP. It's unsustainable. So, no, you don't. Listen, I'll give them credit for starting us on the path. Okay, I will. But I'm not going to go that far, because when I saw him talking to the troops in Afghanistan, you know, I was back to shaking my head again. You understand what I'm saying?
Yep, I do.
So, I was like, and I flashed back to, you know, the little speech for the Nobel Peace Prize debacle hell. So, no, I understand what you're saying. And one can only hope that how capitalism tends to cannibalize itself will happen again. But, you know, how many hundreds of thousands of people later, though, you know?
Yeah, and by the way, Marty, out toward your way, just chimed in to say Sandra is correct. Amway's DeVos's son, he says, I believe, is married to Eric Prince's sister.
Okay, yeah, I knew it was some, you know, I thought Amway, I'm like, I knew it was some connection there.
Yeah, it's also incestuous. And you know, and because it exists in this sort of just below the surface network, they're able to infiltrate every element of American life. I mean, consider the two biggest delivery pizza outfits out there. I know this seems really, really shallow, but, you know, come Saturday or Sunday, there's going to be a lot of people calling out for pie because, you know, they're watching the game, right?
Yeah, Domino's, that freak.
Yeah, they're going to call one of two. Most of them are going to call one of two places, Domino's or Papa John's. Guess what? The founders and owners of both outfits are complete right-wing freakazoids.
Papa John's, too?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, God, I didn't know that. You see, you can't keep up. All I know is that everything's becoming a monopoly, and that's...
I mean, kind of let that sink in for a minute. You cannot buy a delivery pizza in this country, in the main. You cannot buy a delivery pizza in this country without supporting the right-wing infrastructure in doing so.
Oh, yeah. I mean, no, it's rampant, you know?
And it's,
wow.
And it's pervasive. And in other words, you know, there's good liberals out there who are actively supporting the right-wing cause just because they've got the munchies at 10:30 p.m.
Yeah, no, it's true.
Yeah, and we wonder why they get the chokehold, the stranglehold on the body politic that they've got. Well, you know, pizza.
Yeah, well, that, and like we always bitch and moan about, the lack of liberal infrastructure, media-wise, that...
Right, where's the liberal pizza company?
Yeah. No, it's true, exactly what you're saying, but, yeah. Listen,
you know, and all you can do is take a deep breath and hang on.
Oh no, the only other one good thing I heard today. You know, this is all a bit esoteric, but you and I talk about neoliberalism now and then. So the fact that Clinton apologized for forcing Haiti to eliminate their rice sector. Did you hear about this?
No.
Yeah, he made an apology. Apologized for the policies that led to the destruction of their rice market producers, which has caused them not to be able to feed themselves. This is my pet thing, the sort of lack of development in the agriculture sector in developing countries.
Right, and I remember when our buddy Matt Osborne called in to talk about Creole pigs, because, you know, that was a breed of pig that over the years has sort of genetically evolved to be able to live in the very, very harsh and very unforgiving circumstances of a very poor island nation, to wit, Haiti. And lo and behold, it was the U.S. government that forced the almost the complete elimination of the Creole pig population, which actually served in some instances out in the country in Haiti. It served as currency. And we did that. You know, same thing with the rice business. We did that.
And the thing about the apology from Clinton, which is in the same vein as him apologizing about Rwanda, but nevertheless, the idea that he would admit that this neoliberal policy of forcing these countries to lower their tariffs on foodstuff, that's a big deal, because a lot of people are trying to change the dynamic for Haiti after disaster, instead of disaster capitalism, to allow them to, you know, develop their agriculture sector. Even Obama has come out for this, because it's so glaring in its failure, you see. So, I don't know. I just thought that was a bit of good news, and I was, like, really shocked when I read that article. I thought, wow, you know?
Yeah.
It's just this common sense that, of course, a country wants to be able to feed itself. Hello?
Right, but at the same time, you know, as I noted last week, look what continues to happen to poor Greece.
Oh, no. I mean, the Washington consensus will be hanging out until, you know, it's going to be very difficult to pull that back, short of, I don't want to say us going belly up, but, yeah, the financial, we have to get rid of these too big to fail. That's what's sucking the lifeblood from us, is maintaining zombie financial entities. You know, it's really straightforward, Bob. It's not that difficult. But the politics of it is what's difficult.
Oh, without it, yes.
You know?
Well, it's the getting anything done part that's difficult.
Well, you look at Japan. They've been sustaining these zombie banks, you know, since their recession hit almost two decades ago. You know, and it's still going on. And that's just a function of politics. And it got so bad that they threw out the government that's been there since the Marshall, well, since World War II. So, you know what I mean? And that's what's really troubling to look at that, because that could be us. We could be in for years of propping up these entities, you know?
Almost, yeah, almost the past our ability to see over the horizon of it.
Yeah, so, I mean, you know, I understand the health care. It is done now, whatever, and I'm sort of weary about it. But, you know, Obama, instead of flying around to his new war zone, they need to be turning all their attention to these, quote, financial reforms. Because the banks are just throwing money around and laughing and having a good time, thinking no one's going to touch him. But, you know, the Democrats should take their little win and turn it into on the banks. Because that's a winning, that is a yet another winning formula for the Democrats.
Yeah.
But, you know, we know how that goes.
I wish we didn't.
Oh, boy. Well, anyway, maybe I'll be shocked and surprised, but what I've seen...
Yeah, just to back up for a minute, because you'd be surprised the things that wind up being interesting. Everybody's going, what? Papa John's? Papa John's? Papa John's? Yeah, not knowing that the guy's a right-winger. John Schnatter, you know, the guy from Papa John's, has donated thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars to Senate Minority Leader... and one of your favorite human beings on the planet, Chinless Mitch McConnell.
Oh, he probably would have been having a good time in West Hollywood, but yeah. Wow, I mean, I'm not surprised, because these monopolies, they want to maintain their monopolies. And you know, that's another thing we need to start calling what is. This whole competition, competitiveness. That's a bunch of BS, Bob. We have different monopolies. Did you know that Lynn Crafters was a huge monopoly?
You mean basically that they control the market in terms of...
Yeah. Totally.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm just saying. I mean, it's just eyeglasses, but, you know, what happened to all this vaunted competition, blah, 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 all this...
Right, well, but that's what they talk while they quietly take over the country.
No, and I'm talking, you know, this in microeconomics, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, you know what? It's a load.
Yeah, it is. It's especially where the current American model is concerned, Sandra.
Yeah, I mean, and it's strangling, you know, whatever is good about capitalism. This sort of crony capitalism.
Yeah.
And where business and government married. No, it's so detrimental. It's unbelievable.
Well,
but anyway, you know what? I'll let you go because yeah, I'm starting to piss myself off.
All right, Sandra. We'll talk soon. Take care.
Bye.
Bye now. God, you know, what she says is so right. Look, if you cannot participate in commerce in this country without, in some wise, propping up the right-wing machine that aims to grind you into the dirt. Shh, don't tell anybody, but they already won. If you cannot buy, and I know, somebody out there is going, damn, he's shallow. Yes, I am shallow as hell. Because the rest of my country is too. And if you cannot buy a delivery pizza without either contributing to some right-wing Opus Dei freak in the form of Domino's, or on the other hand, putting money into Mitch McConnell's pocket, then guess what? You're out of the game. You're going through the motions. Honest to God, come on. I know for a damn fact that there are liberal entrepreneurs out there. Where's the pizza joint chain? Where's... Not that we need another burger joint in America, but where's the burger joint? Where's all of it? Does it make... Do I... Go to the phones, Bob. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hey, Bob.
Hey, what's up?
You just had to bring up the Searchlight thing. Oh, my God. That was something else.
Yeah, that was, you know, that was out in your stomping grounds, Garrett. Did you see any real, live, honest-to-God teabagging freaks?
Well, that was, Searchlight is in northern Nevada, so that's, like, pretty, I mean, that's, like, in the boonies.
Oh, I thought that, I'm sorry, my Nevada geography is left a little bit wanting. I thought it was, like, 60 miles from Vegas or something.
Nobody's ever heard, until they made it their little stomping grounds, nobody's ever heard of the place before. It's that far.
It takes a Searchlight to find Searchlight?
Oh, yeah. that's an understatement. But, yeah, I mean, because they had people, because, I mean, since, you know, due to the time issue, I mean, right after the Saturday games, they had that on channel, on our CBS affiliate, and it's like, oh, boy, it's like, there were a whole, they were using a chopper to show all the people, seriously.
Oh.
Yeah. And the thing is, though, is that one of the people they showed up were these old couple from frickin' Orange County, California, and it's like, they had brand stinking new frickin' Angels gear. Like, and not like, you know, kind of lame-o stuff. We're talking, they had these two old farts. They had, like, the manager's jacket, you know, and what looked to be the official, you know, the regular hat is like, oh, my God. It was insane. And she just spouting, is like this ancient lady, she's just spouting off. And then there's another one that was a bit younger that had the, you know, the Mitch the Turtle Man, the Boehner, you know, orange to her. then they showed the matching buses for Jim Gibbons and Sue Helmet Hair Loudon. And they're all surrounded by people as they're getting interviewed. But the topper of it all was they cut away to the reporter guy doing it, you know, after the event. He's African American and he's back out on the interstate doing it.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Yes, they sent, it's like the old Chris Rock comedy bit. They sent the African American to the place none of them wanted to go.
Yeah, because I don't want to cover the Klan rally. Said, so, you know.
Yeah, it is like off. It's like seriously. It's like, you know, it wasn't that much later because it was just starting to. It was just start. The sun was just starting to go down in that part. But he was out on the interstate. They were parked on the outside of Searchlight on the interstate doing the live hookup. It's like, excuse me, I want to get out of this crazy.
Yeah, wouldn't that whole crowd have been better off in Roswell? I realize it's New Mexico and stuff, but I mean, please.
Well, they picked Searchlight because that's Harry Reid's hometown. That's the only reason they picked the place.
Yeah, right, and I saw a little bit of it. Lo and behold, you know, just trying to get over to, you know, Robot Chicken, and you know, and I ran across and I stopped for a minute, and it was that loathsome Andrew Breitbart.
Oh God!
Haranguing the crowd, screaming, "The Democrats are the racists. You're not the racists. They're the racists." And I was thinking, you know, wow, what not compelling argument. I've got $100,000 for anybody who can provide me video or audio proof that John Lewis was called the N-word. Sure you do.
Yeah.
And James O'Keefe went into the Acorn office dressed like a pimp. You're right.
Yeah.
And of course, he brought up. And you know, hard-working, patriotic journalists like James O'Keefe, at which point I went, and hit the button just to get on over to Robot Chicken.
Oh, God. But, yeah, it's the ultimate, you know, just crazy. That was just the ultimate, and what the F.
But that was part of their world tour. It's going to wind up in D.C. on tax day or something, right? It's going to loop down through Texas, and they're going to stop and have a little clavern meeting in Alabama. Right.
Yeah, so they're basically getting all the crazy people together. That was the kicker. I mean, that was just the kicker to see. Chris Rock comedy fashion that they sent the black guy out there. I mean, I was just like, I just started thinking of that comedy bit.
Why not just green screen it like the Daily Show does? Wouldn't that have been simpler and more cost effective?
All news places have had the green screen for a zillion years because of the weather, dude.
This is just one of those little object lessons, where I, have one of those learning curve moments, Garrett. But I went, I saw the story about the underground bombing in Moscow, right? Mm-hmm. So I went to the only TV cable news channel that we have, which is Fox, to see if there was even something on the crawler.
No,
it was all Sarah all the time. It was, we now return to Searchlight, America's Search for America. What? And meanwhile, serious breaking news in Moscow, but it was all about Searchlight. And, just another one of those little moments where the bulb above my head glowed a little bit more brightly, and I realized there's no news in Fox News. Just none. Ain't none. It'll be interesting because I'm sure Fox will have, continuing live team coverage of wherever that string of the drool covered licked window buses goes next.
Well, yeah, I'm kind of sad that they didn't show Sarah Palin's bus because I legitimately wanted to see if it matched Loudon and Gibbons. I mean, it was the only thing different on the two buses were their faces, their big old headshots on these buses, and their names. Same font, same everything, same placement of the Nevada flag. It was like clone vehicles.
Did I hear something in the last few days? One of the gubernatorial candidates got taken down on like hot check charges or something. The teabagger candidate.
I think you're right. Oh, speaking of that, I spied in the background on that report. I saw a handmade sign calling the teabagger fool a tool for Reed. And even better, on Thursday, he was on again on John Ralston's program because, one, it's the only weekday political show locally, like, ever. And, two, the fact is Ralston will have him on because he's bemused by him and the fool will actually sit there while Ralston asks, are you a tool for Reed? Or do you work for Reed? I mean, it's so hilarious. The guy... But, yeah, I believe that is true. I mean, but at least it wasn't, to a prostitute, I guess. That would have been legendary.
Oh, the...
The whole Springer method would have been great.
Indeed.
I mean, at least Springer was a decent guy besides the fact that TV show is... awful.
You see, what would the cry be? Bagger beads, bagger beads, bagger beads. Oh, dear God. Why did you make me go there, Garrett? Hey, Garrett, I'm going to roll along because we are up to our eyeballs in phone calls, and I'm going to take a little break and get right back with it.
It's a Moran invasion.
Oh, we are. We're up to our armpits in Morans. You know, well, I got to find that. One of these days, I got to find that Bugs Bunny clip. Head for the hills a little bit. The armpits.
Probably.
Right.
Yeah, I also, here's a thing to think about. CBS does not want Butler versus West Virginia. They do not want it.
No.
They are thankful that Duke made it. I mean, Michigan State's small enough for them, and I mean, they're a 5 seed on top of it, but Duke, they need Duke to win on Saturday.
Just because the whole country hates them and will tune in to hate them?
Basically, that's they.
Well, see, I don't know, Garrett, because, you know, the lads that play for the Mountaineers are all from the greater New York area. You know, you got Truck Bryant from Brooklyn. Right. You got Deshaun Butler from Newark. And you got one from Mount Vernon, and that's like, and the beautiful thing is Huggins has taught them what it means to be a West Virginian, and they are plugged into the idea. They are sold on it. Somebody said, well, wasn't it nice? It was something like, well, Deshaun, wasn't it nice to win right here on the home court? And he said, my home court's in Morgantown, West Virginia. We won this for the people of the state of West Virginia. I mean, it's nice that people. No, it was Joe Mazzulla, I guess. They're sold on it, and they are hillbillies. They are absolutely hillbillies, at least by adoption, I guess.
Yeah, and it's amazing though, because think about it this way. Huggins, he's mellowed out. He was really hardcore back when he was at Cincinnati.
Yeah, but, you know, he was screaming, hollering hardcore. I think he's still plenty hardcore, and he can do it with a...
Oh, yeah, he's hard. He's pretty... He's in the zone, especially now.
He can do it with a bat of an eye. He can do it without speaking now. I mean, he's like something from Dune. He can use the command voice without even using his voice.
Yeah, I mean, to think about it, I mean, he had some pretty decent NBA-caliber players. Granted, I mean, you know, some of them were like Nick Van Exel and, you know, were a little bit, you know.
Yeah. Oh,
exactly,
and by the way, Sue just shot me a link to confirm what we were talking about. A Nevada asphalt contractor who faces a legal challenge to his Tea Party of Nevada candidacy for the U.S. Senate was hit Friday with felony theft and bad check charges in Las Vegas that allege he bounced a $5,000 business check last year, and it refers to Scott Ashgian.
And he was claiming when he was first on with Ralston that he had enough money to run a campaign.
Yeah.
Well, that's obviously not the case.
Yeah, oh, look, he's a liar. Surprise, Sergeant Carter.
Not only that, but if he's a liar and he can't mount a campaign, guess what? Harry better start packing his bags, because that means that Sue Loudon's freaking fake. I mean, really?
Arguably.
I mean, because, I mean, granted, again, I will deal with 6 years of him. Especially knowing that there's going to be one less Republican senator in 2 years.
Yeah, you really think John Ensign just? Leader. Well, I was going to say, you really think John Ensign will go down? Nevadans won't forgive his little dalliance, shall we say? Hey, Garrett, I do have to roll along, but good talking to you, my friend. We'll talk soon.
You too. Yeah, sure thing.
All right, later. Bye now.
Yeah, bye.
That's our Vegas correspondent. That's Garrett, obviously from Vegas. And we are going to take a little break because I'm a little dry. And, let's send out another dedication to Michael Steele.
out there enjoying his simulated lesbian sex at the Voyeur West Hollywood. Kate wrote in just a little bit ago, and she said, you know, I'm stuck on that remark, imitating lesbian sex. What? That's like imitating barbecue. Tender meat over a slow fire is still barbecue. Imitation lesbian sex, indeed. Copywritten by a repressed straight male, no doubt. What is imitation lesbian sex? Apparently it draws a pretty good crowd. No clue. But, hey, Michael Steele, out there at the Voyeur Hollywood West, this is for you. From America's listener-supported liberal voice. From, in fact, The Horn. We'll be back.
It's in times like this, the great heaven knows, that we wish we had not so many clothes. So let's loosen up with a playful tease, like all lovers did through the centuries.
Thinking ahead means preparing for the future. the future of our children, our grandchildren, and our wild, wonderful West Virginia. Developing our renewable energy resources is the best way to ensure a clean, sustainable way of life and safe, good-paying jobs for generations to come. Here in the Mountain State, our most abundant energy resource is the wind. Our ridges and majestic mountain peaks shape and direct the wind like stones in a mountain stream. Coal River Mountain is the ideal place for developing wind power. The Coal River Mountain Wind Farm will provide us with a source of clean energy and good jobs forever. We have the power to make our future happen now. Be a part of the clean energy solution for West Virginia by visiting coalriverwind.org or call 304-854-2182. That's coalriverwind.org, 854-2182.
We know you want to save big on your phone bill, and we know how you can.
That's right. We do.
We're saving more than 50% on our home phone bill since we switched to CityNet's digital phone plan.
Really? Over 50%?
CityNet's digital phone plan is only $24.95 a month.
Only $24.95?
You get unlimited local and long-distance calling.
Just $24.95.
And with CityNet's digital phone plan, you keep your current number. All you need is a high-speed internet connection. Get details at citynet.net.
$24.95.
And, oh, this is cool. With CityNet's digital plan, I can use my home phone anywhere in the world with high-speed internet. No extra cost.
There's 20, and there's 4, and there's 95.
Did I mention CityNet is a West Virginia-owned company?
Did I mention $24.95?
Save at least 50% on your residential phone. Get unlimited local and long distance, and keep your same number, all for just $24.95 a month. Visit citynet.net today for more details. Some exclusions and restrictions may apply.
Tonight's final hour of Head On begins next. 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Here's Brock.
Well, I've done it again, ruined somebody's supper. Marty writing in to say, even Papa John's fuels the right wing? And I was going to get one tonight. C'est la vie. Hey, you know, Marty, do right by your local pizza purveyor. There's got to be a good pie out there somewhere that isn't corporate. You know what the best pie in Beckley is? And they deliver. A little joint on Prince Street called Roma Pizza. It's on the corner of, I think, Prince Street and Fayette. And it's run by a bunch of Middle Eastern dudes, and they've see, this is the trick with pizza. This is the food porn portion of the program. If your pizza is baked on one of those conveyor belt infrared the assembly line ovens, it will suck. The only way to bake a pizza is in a gas or wood fired oven that's been on since about 5 a.m. and it gives you that really crackly, wonderful crust thing going on. And that's what they've got at Roma Pizza in Beckley, and I love their pies. Oh, my God, when they're hot, you know, the real cheese, not that. Remember when we did the story years ago about the fact that pizza cheese is coated in silicone? Blech. And that's what Pizza Hut uses? Well, these guys are using the real stuff because it's real gooey and real stringy, and if you take it hot out of the box and try to bite into it immediately, you will receive blisters from the lava hot cheese. Corey writing in, what's the matter with you? All right, you can't buy your delivery pizza around the corner from your house, and you don't want to support the conservatives. You can, one, buy locally. Yes, you have to go pick it up. Two, plan ahead, make your own. Do you want recipes? Oh, I'm all for recipes, Corey. I absolutely am. Back when the gas grill still worked, I had a pizza stone in there, and that thing made awesome pies. Oh, it was good. Also, that's also where I did my beer can chicken. Woof. Oh, it was good. Let's see here. I've got that all taken care of. Then let's go back to the phones and hope people have been hanging on. Okay. Well, you know, hope in one hand.
Hey there, boss.
Hey, what's up, Gene?
Beggar beads.
use it when I'm in a limit. Thank you.
It's the least I could do for what gets done to me.
Oh, I'm sure. I'll get to that part too soon. I was glad you brought up the health care thing with the company saying they won't cover sick children. Oh, that just irks me. Now, the one I read said it was they were stuck until 2014, but I was wondering, the health care insurance reform bill says you're allowed to have free preventative care, right?
Once a year, yes.
Okay, so if you went in for a prenatal, you know, a prenatal exam, and they found something, that's just once a year, huh? So
the problem with the Blue Cross case, was it in Houston? I can't remember now. But the problem with it was that the mother had all the ultrasounds and got all the pictures and all the blood work and all that stuff, and there was absolutely nothing to indicate that there was some sort of congenital problem.
Oh, crap.
And so the baby's born, and it turns out that I guess I don't even fully understand the nature of the problem, but the arteries and veins going to the heart are reversed or something, and the child had to have immediate surgery in order to correct it and survive. And it's been corrected, but mom and dad are financially ruined forever now.
Well, I was thinking this would be a great spot to stick that single-payer insurance in for
four years. Yeah.
I mean, granted, they have a fit, but hey, if they're not going to...
And, you know, mom and dad run a small business, and they weren't even carrying insurance on themselves. They were buying individual policies for their children.
Oh, boy.
And so because of that, the child was born and did not have coverage because the policy had not been bought yet. So they try to get coverage, and no, sorry, it's a pre-existing condition.
Well,
I was going to say, Gene, that you know, if there's an upside to this, and it's hard to even say that there's an upside in the face of such tragedy, the upside is that this can only convince America further that, like I said, for-profit health insurance cannot be trusted to have anything to do with the health of the nation.
See, I disagree with that, and here's why. I think that the people that are going to get bit in the ass by this are going to be, frankly, the teabaggers, because these are the ones that aren't going to want to go ahead and get it, you know. They're going to have to be dragged kicking and screaming to get on this thing to begin with. And then when they find, oops, no coverage for 4 years, they're going to turn around and say, see, we told you. And I'll tell you why, and here's why. I was talking to my sister, and, you know, my sister... May her God love her. And, you know, she's family, so, yeah, I love you, sis. But she says, well, we were talking. She says, I'm very right wing, and I hate my former party because they've gone so far left. And I wrote back, the GOP is left? And so it's like, if they think the GOP is left, I don't think they're going to get educated to, you know, it's because of the stuff that you know, the private insurance crap that you, although I do have to say they really do hate the banks. And on that score, I can kind of agree. So, I mean, I suppose if you get them on the banking issue, they might actually be good for something. But I don't know about the insurance. And by the way, I had to say one other thing. You remember we were talking about McBoog?
Mike Vanderboog.
Vanderboog, yeah, Vanderboog. You know who else lived on charity through their lifetime? You remember Andy from London that called in and reminded us that that the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, for those of you that choose to believe that way, also did that, and basically said he had no problem with, you know, leaving off the chair to the pagans because they're the enemy. So I submit to you that Mr. Vanderbilt is a secret Muslim.
Well, you know, we haven't seen the long-form birth certificate.
That's true. We haven't. We haven't. The guy, I swear, he's a secret Muslim. So I just had to come in there and rant. I had to come in and rant about these two little things. And I'll let somebody else come on, come right along and give them a chance to kind of vent and decompress for a while.
Understood completely.
Okay. See you soon.
All right. Take care, Gene.
Bye-bye.
Bye now. And thanks to our cultural correspondent, David, pop culture correspondent David from Maine, we have this.
Folks, or you'll be up to your armpits in Marshall. Run for the hills, folks, or you'll be up to your armpits in Marshall.
That's the one. Oh, that's a beautiful thing. You'll be up to your armpits in Martians. And we just got to get somebody who does a good Bugs Bunny. You'll be up to your armpits in Morans. And by the way, lines are open for all of those who couldn't get through a little bit ago. The lines were absolutely jammed. But, of course, no one's willing to sit on hold for this program. So lines are open if you want to get involved, have your say, whatever. Maybe you've got your own Moran nominee. Earlier I got an email coming in from Ron and Raleigh saying, even a whole wheat granola outfit like Whole Foods is run by a complete right-wing yahoo who believes that social programs are a false philanthropy. These SOBs make me sick. Hear, hear. And Clayton writing in, why isn't anyone talking about how women are getting screwed by the health care law? He says, Bill, it's a law now. I spent 30 years working for a large Midwestern bank. We need a transaction charge tax on Wall Street stock and bonds. That would pay off the national debt in less than a decade. Plus, all our kids could go to college free, all for a 25-cent fee. Hear, hear. And in fact, wasn't it in our conversation with Andy toward the end of last week or sometime last week? You know, it all runs together for me. That exact concept was talked about, a transaction fee in stock portfolios. My God, what couldn't we fund? That might actually generate more income than a modest tax on legalized cannabis, for God's sakes. But you know what? The right wing doesn't want to, and again, you know, let's let this sort of filter down to a complete molecular level for us. The right wing doesn't want anything to do with anything that is a net good for the United States of America. I know that concept is as foreign can be to most of us, because most of us hold our nation in hope and esteem for what it can be. Not necessarily always what it is. We screw up. But for what it can be. And if we acted in the best interests of all of our citizens instead of 0.1% of them, imagine what this nation could be. But the right wing despises this nation. Anything that this nation does that does not directly benefit either getting someone killed in a far-off foreign land or, you know, their masters in the top 0.1% of the income bracket, they ain't interested, even if it's good for them. It makes your head ache. You know, horn psychotherapist Rick Goodner just dropped me a note. Says, Bob, remember the Manson family was trying to start a war in America, too. Looks like these Christian militia morons are about as smart as Manson, but Chuck was crazy. These fools are, well, fools. Yes! Precisely. And exactly. But, you know, let's add one more caveat to the whole dish. I love caveat. A little toast corner with a little sour cream and finely minced onion. There's nothing like caveat. No, I'm sorry. They're fools, but they are heavily armed, incredibly dangerous fools. Gene mentioned Mike Vanderboog a minute ago. Mike Vanderboog is still sitting down there in Pinson, Alabama, on his lard ass, drawing his breath and his pay. He has openly called for property damage and quite possibly physical damage. Remember, he said he was trying to keep Nancy Pelosi from getting killed by 1,000 little Wacos, which at the same time he has promised there will be no more free Wacos. And he hasn't been touched. Granted, these maybe the FBI was a little too busy with this what are they called, the fluffer nutter mill? No, hot and no, Hooterville? No. Well, the guys that got taken down that wanted to go out and start shooting cops to start a civil war. Maybe the FBI was too busy with them. Maybe they'll get around to Mr. Vanderboog sooner or later, God willing, we hope. But by golly, they jumped right out and took down a 38-year-old Pennsylvania man arrested and charged with threatening to kill House Minority Whip Eric Cantor of Virginia. Really? Norman LeBoon of Philadelphia, charged in a two-count complaint with threatening to kill Cantor and his family. He made the threat on a YouTube internet video sent to Google this month, according to a Justice Department statement. And LeBoon faces a sentence of up to 15 years in prison and a $500,000 fine. He called Eric Cantor a liar. Well, Eric Cantor is a liar. And he called him a pig. Well, he's got some beady little pig eyes, Eric Cantor does. And he said, "You and your children are Lucifer's abominations. You receive my bullets in your office. Remember, they will be placed in your heads." Somehow I don't think this guy's one of us. Because we don't do that whole bullet through the head thing. An official called LeBoon a lone, possibly disturbed individual and noted he claimed he had produced more than 2,000 videos in which he made threats. So, to review, no actual harm has been directed toward or done to Eric Cantor of Virginia, and a babbling idiot has been arrested. On the other hand, real bricks have been put through real windows that are tied directly to Mike Vanderboog, and he hasn't been touched. Just so we can sort of keep score. Ron and Raleigh noting, you know, we used to have a securities turnover excise tax, or STET, until the mid-1970s. It was discussed briefly last year, but immediately dismissed. Can't bother the masters of the universe with paying for their malfeasance. Yeah, I know it used to exist. It's highly frustrating that it doesn't anymore. Sheesh. Let's go to the phones. You know the number, by the way, 877-443-2366. 877, the numeral 4, head on your nickel. It's 304-658-3333. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hello, Bob. How are you?
Hey, Matt Osborne. What's up?
Oh, heck, it's been a really busy 10 days, I tell you what. I was at a gun show all weekend.
Oh, really?
Oh, yes, I was at a gun show selling flags to people. I figured it was a natural fit. I figured it would give me a way in to see what the Tea Party culture was turning to. And, you know, it actually worked. I got to meet a Tea Party candidate, and it was a good weekend. Sold a few Gadsden flags, you know, the don't tread on me.
Yeah, I would have taken a couple of crates of those.
Yeah, I sold a few of those. Very popular for some strange reason.
Because, you know, they're getting treaded on.
Yeah, right. Treading on our rights.
They're treading on our rights to get screwed by insurance companies.
And our right to be led in America, by the way, kind of American, nice white American, like God, you know, because he's white too. God wants us to be led by kind of American white.
Exactly. Well, I think that Moran Monday is a tie. I think whoever in AHIP came up with the idea of, hey, you know, a week after the signing of this bill, we're going to trumpet the fact that we found this loophole, we think, that we can not give insurance to sick kids. That would be Moran number one.
Okay. Yeah, they're the Blue Cross Blue Shield, yeah.
The other one would have to be Eric Brown, who's the president of the Orange County Dynamic Marketing Incorporated, and he's the guy who charged $1,946.25 worth of charges at that nightclub in L.A.
Huh?
That's his name. Eric Brown.
Okay.
So Eric Brown, I think, ties with whoever at Blue Cross came up with that wonderful idea. But I got to tell you, I had this long weekend talking to these folks, and people are saying, well, you know, maybe it really isn't healthcare that has them upset. And they're absolutely right. I'm glad that people are finally figuring this out. Healthcare is just the soup du jour. That's all it is. It's just, you know, one more example of the socialisms that the president is bringing in. That's all it is. When you talk to these people, they're really, it's their world view that is threatened. They have this view of themselves and their country as this one kind of place, and that's being challenged. Just the election of Barack Obama really just throws a huge challenge into that mindset, because these people live in a paranoid universe. And, you know, I've blogged about this before. The paranoid universe is this complete world, and everything that comes into it that might punch a hole into it has to be treated just like kind of like the way an oyster treats an irritating little piece of silk. It has to coat it and turn it into a pearl. In much the same way, the wingnut mind has to take this new information that threatens to poke a hole in its world, and it has to turn it into part of that world, has to integrate it. And so you get this strange thing that happens when this information comes in. Like Mr. Eric Brown, I'm sure that what we're going to see is that this guy is some kind of, well, he's a left coastie.
Sure.
He's really a liberal. He's not really a conservative.
No.
You're going to see that, I guarantee, in the next 48 hours. That will be the meme pop up in the wingnutosphere.
He was a plant to make our heroic Chairman Steele look bad.
Right. And you've got I can't even remember his name. What is this Joker's name? Let me scroll back here, see if I can find this guy. This guy, Mr. Dale Robertson, who proclaims himself to be the founder of the Tea Party movement. We know that's not right. He said in the Washington Times last Thursday, he said, well, these people could be anybody. You know, he's talking about the folks shouting racial slurs at congressmen.
Yeah.
These people could be anybody. I wouldn't put it past the Democrats to plant somebody there. They're trying to label the Tea Party, but I've never seen any racial slurs. But I've got a picture of Mr. Dale Robertson holding that sign with the N-word misspelled. No racial slurs. I've never seen any racial slurs. No, pay no attention to this sign I'm holding.
Oh, my. And how many people, you know, how far will that get out into the actual stream of consciousness that is this nation, that, you know? Is Cutesy Curric going to have anything? No, I don't think so.
No. Nobody's going to challenge it. Nobody except us. We're the only ones. It's kind of an interesting moment for the Republican Party, too. You know, David Frum, you saw what happened to him last week. And his wife had this post over at Huffington Post, of all places. And she said, I can categorically state I've never seen such a hostile environment towards free thought and debate. once the hallmarks of Reaganism, the politics with which we grew up, prevail in our movement as it does today. The thuggish demagoguery of the Limbaughs and Becks is a trait we once derided in the old socialist left. Well, boy, it's us now. You know, let the purges begin. Let the purges begin is the way I see it.
Well, this just in, the falafel man has gotten into this. He says, the press showed no restraint at all in covering that story and immediately took and branded the Tea Parties as a bunch of racists, talking about, you know, the business, you know, with John Lewis and stuff. This is why it's a big story, why I'm leading with it tonight on The Factor. And I got Al Sharpton in the seat, because I can't get the others, and that tells me something, too. I can't get John Lewis, and I can't get Emmanuel Cleaver. These are the guys who made the accusations. They won't come on. That shows. That tells me something. But anyway, the strategy is on the left because the Tea Party movement is a danger to them to brand everybody in it as a racist.
No, it couldn't be the signs that they carry.
No.
It couldn't be the stupid things they say into the camera. No, it can't be anything about the actual Tea Party as it has been photographed and recorded. No, it's all in your mind. It's being made up by liberals.
And you know, that's what they're doing. You can see it. You can see it that any nut, and there are some nuts in the Tea Party movement, any nut and anything will be used to brand the entire movement.
Right.
You know, that's why standing in that lily white crowd in Searchlight, Nevada, Andrew Breitbart had to say, you know, I love to see your black faces here, your Hispanic Latino faces here, and we're not racists, they're the racists. Well, you know, I watched some of that footage and I couldn't find those black and Latino faces. I think they got, you know, but you know, who am I?
It's like a third grade kid. Remember back in third grade when, I'm not stupid, you're stupid.
Yeah,
racist.
Well, your daddy's stupid.
Like, look, these Huttery guys that you were talking
about. That's what, Huttery. See, I lost it already. Has anybody found out where that word comes from yet?
No, I have not found out. I have been looking. I have not found out yet. It sounds to me like it's something that comes out of somebody's mishmash idea of ancient Hebrew. You know how Jehovah came up, right?
Yeah.
There's people looking at the vowels for Adonai, which were placed over the consonants for Yahweh, and saying, oh, well, this must be how you really pronounce the name. No, you actually have to know something about how ancient Israelites treated the name Yahweh. They didn't pronounce it. They pronounced the word Adonai instead in its place because it was too holy of a word to be used commonly.
Right.
So they used this replacement word, Adonai, and they used the little vowel symbols over those consonants for Yahweh to indicate that you should say Adonai. And when you put the two together, you wind up with Jehovah, which is just a completely false construction.
Listen, we had just had a lovely piece of halibut, and I told my wife that piece of halibut was good enough for Jehovah. Oh, he said it again!
Jehovah isn't even a word. It's a made-up word. I think Huttery is, too, because if you go looking at that Huttery website, and I did peruse it just a little bit, they have a rank structure, which most of the ranks sound like names that maybe came out of the Bible somewhere, but probably are being misunderstood. They don't sound right. There's a couple of them in there that just, I don't know. Archon is in there, but that's Greek.
Yeah, okay, well, I got something for you. Just ran across this over at Democratic Underground.
Uh-huh.
This is from their website. This is a more expanded chunk of the website than what I had earlier.
Uh-huh.
Huttery, Christian warrior. As Christians, we are all a part of the souls of the body of Christ, the one true church of Christ, not any specific man-made building or any man-controlled organization. This is the belief of the Huttery soldier, as should be the belief of all followers in Christ be. We believe that one day, as prophecy says, there will be an Antichrist. All Christians must know this and prepare just as Christ commanded, Luke 22:35-37. And he said to them, when I sent you without money bag, knapsack, and sandals, did you lack anything? So they said, nothing. Then he said to them, but now he who has a money bag, let him take it, and likewise a knapsack. And he who has no sword, let him sell his garment and buy one. For I say to you that that which is written must be accomplished in me. And he was numbered with transgressors, for the things concerning me have an end. This clearly states the reason. What? Clearly states, huh? Clearly states the reason for the training and preparation of the huddery. Jesus wanted us to. Well, wait.
Go ahead.
Jesus wanted us to be ready to defend ourselves using the sword and stay alive using equipment. The only thing on earth to save the testimony and those who follow it are the members of the testimony till the return of Christ in the clouds. We, the huddery, are prepared to defend all those who belong to Christ and save those who aren't. We will still spread the word and fight to keep it up to the time of the great coming.
We must kill you in order to save you. You know, that quotation, Luke 22, verse 35-37.
Yes.
That conveniently leaves out the very next verse. The very next verse is, the disciples said, see, Lord, here are two swords. That is enough. He replied, that is enough. But when you talk to the people with this mindset, what you find is that there is never enough.
No.
You know, I only have 10,000 rounds of ammunition for my .223 semi-automatic assault rifle. I need 20,000. Because, you know, that zombie apocalypse, you know, those zombies will come rampaging in hordes, and I'll just have to take them out one by one with headshots, and I'll need 20,000 bullets to do that, or something.
And, by the way, they are on YouTube and MySpace.
Of course. That's the great thing about America. You can put up a MySpace page for anything. MySpace, Facebook, whatever.
I'm still not seeing what it comes from. Oh, but they do have an evil Jew forum on their website.
An evil Jew forum. Yes.
Yes.
Those evil Jews. Oh, those evil Jews. Plotting to get 6 million of themselves killed in World War II.
Yeah, right.
Right. See, this, again, is an example of what I'm talking about. The paranoid universe. The paranoid mind. When something comes in there that threatens to irritate it and puncture it and maybe just let some air out of it, what do you do? What does the wingnut mind do? It has to incorporate it somehow. And it's what I call the samsara. You know the samsara cycle.
Yep.
I call it the samsara cycle of the wacky. Because whatever comes in has to be turned into more of the same. That's where 9/11 truth comes in. That's where Oklahoma City truth comes in. We're too uncomfortable with the reality, so we have to make up a new reality and convince ourselves of it. That's how it works every single time. Speaking of such things, did you hear that Ricky Martin came out of the closet today?
Yes, I did.
Ricky Martin.
Surprised? Who was surprised? Come on. Anybody?
I was so shocked I fell down and died of a heart attack from that surprise. Tell you what, which, you know, that just makes me think, you know, who's the next one? It's got to be Tim Tebow.
Oh.
Ricky Martin's been out there for, what, 10 years? People saying, yeah, he's gay. Yeah, he's gay. And he finally comes out of the closet. I think Tim Tebow is going to have a multi-year NFL career. And I think he's going to wind up out of the NFL, and then he's going to come out of the closet. He's going to have to. I think that's what's going to happen.
No, he won't. No, no, no. He won't come out of the closet. He will get shoved out of the closet.
Well, yeah. He'll
you know when he when he gets caught. You know when he gets you know snort gets caught snorting meth off of. Yeah, it's gonna be that whole meth and man ass thing all over again.
Oh, of course. He's not gonna open the closet door himself, step out and say, "Hey, I'm in here." No, he's not gonna do that. He's gonna get shoved out of the closet. But my point is this: I don't think this man is going to forever hide, and I think it's going to be kind of the same thing all over again. I don't think anybody's going to be surprised.
I won't be. I mean, please.
Yes, how many of your listeners would be surprised?
None.
None? I mean, have you seen the little video of him making out with Keith, with Mr. Urban on the football field?
Huh? What? Huh?
Oh, I've got it right up at the top of my blog, man.
Oh, God, I got to go. No, I don't want to look. No, my eyes.
It's only 10 seconds. It's only 10 seconds.
The optic nerve can be burned in less than one.
It's the nuclear flash blinding you.
Don't look!
Burning your retina.
Don't look! Oh! Don't look, Ethel!
It's like Raiders of the Lost Ark. Keep your eyes closed!
Exactly.
Listen, you were talking with your previous caller, the caller before. You mentioned something about nine-dimensional chess or 11-dimensional chess or umpteen-dimensional chess.
See, I even screw up the dimensions.
No, it's fine. You know, to me, it doesn't really matter how many dimensions you give it. When the term first popped up, it was kind of used derisively. It's like, oh, well, Obama is just playing that 11-dimensional chess. Ha, 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 ha. It's kind of way of, you know, poo-pooing the approach that the administration had on health care. But I got to tell you two things. One, when I say 11-dimensional chess, I'm not trying to tell people that Obama's some kind of chess master, you know, who can beat Spock at a game of chess. I'm saying that reform is difficult. It's many layered. There are many different interests. There are many different aspects to passing reform that make it difficult to do. And hey, you know, our Constitution makes reform difficult. You know, the Founding Fathers didn't want us, you know, just changing everything willy-nilly all the time. And hey, if we reform healthcare in this country, do you want somebody coming along in 10 years and just taking a magic eraser to that? No, you don't.
No.
It should be hard for them to change that. So, yes, change is hard. That's what I mean when I say 11-dimensional chess. It's just a very difficult process. But what people need to understand now, in the light of this story about Blue Cross trumpeting this to the media about, oh, well, we don't have to give sick kids health care. What people need to understand is that reform is not done. I keep hearing people say, well, now that the bill is passed, you know, that's done. No. No. Reform is like a battleship, and anyone of your listeners who's ever been in the Navy can tell you this is true. When you paint a battleship, you start scraping paint at the bow. You get all the way to the stern repainting the boat. And when you are done, you go back up to the front of the boat and you start scraping paint again. You are never actually done painting a battleship. That's kind of what healthcare reform is going to turn into. I mean, you're already seeing Democrats talking about campaigning on how we're going to have to fix this. We have to put fixes in here. We have to do this. We have to do that. And we're nowhere near done with the process of healthcare reform. We have begun the process of healthcare reform. It's just a framework. That's all that's been passed. And people say, well, why does it take till 2014 for all this stuff to kick in? And that's because you give yourself time to fix everything between now and 2014. What happens at the end of this depends not just on Obama or Congress. It also depends on the other factors, those other dimensions that we talk about. You know, we are the first dimension. You and I, the progressives, the liberals, the movement out there. We have to keep pushing to improve this. And there's that involved. And then you've got the insurance industry doing everything possible at this point to make themselves look as horrible as possible. That's one more dimension of it. So, again, this is not something that was finished just when Obama signed that bill. It really began when Obama signed that
bill. Right. It's not the end. It, what is it? It's not the begin. It's not the end. It's not even the beginning of the end, but it is the end of the beginning.
Exactly. That's exactly what it is. Signing that bill was the end of the beginning. And what you do to build a successful political movement, which I think the president really is about building a solid Democratic majority for a long time. And what you do in order to make that happen is you give that majority stuff to do for America for years and years. Not just all at once, but stuff to keep doing, issues to keep running on. I guarantee you we're going to hear guys like Alan Grayson. Let's say that there's no public option amendment between now and November. But you know what? By November, you're going to hear Democrats running on it. And by 2012, I can guarantee you, if it hasn't passed by then, it'll be in Obama's platform. Because AHIP will do everything in their power. Again, Blue Cross, that story today. They will do everything in their power to make it a moral imperative to create a public option. See, again, you're never actually done. But I don't want to just, you know, fill up your airtime with a singular rant on this subject, but
no, but it was a good one. It was a good one. It indeed was. And you know, I go to Clayton's query earlier. You know, why isn't anyone talking about how women are getting screwed by the health care law? And you know, I don't. You know, there was the whole business. You know, Stupak's language did not get into the law.
It
was a promise of an executive order from Barack Obama, and executive orders can be changed with the stroke of a pen, as we watched happen time after time after time during 8 long tormented years of the George W. Bush administration.
Mm-hmm.
So, screwed. No, women were screwed before the health care law ever happened. You know, as Michael Moore noted very, very astutely, abortion services, women's reproductive health services in general, are unavailable, Matt, in 86% of the counties of the United States.
Yes.
You know, rich Republican women will always be able to get on a jet and go to some civilized nation and get their little problems taken care of. The big difference is that we don't see any equity of right for a woman who is not a rich Republican woman who is unable to get on a jet to have her problems addressed as well. And that happened before the health care law was ever passed.
Speaking of such things and the gun show, I do have one more thing to offer you, and then I'm going to get off the phone here because I know you're going to have some other caller and you're going to want to wrap up. But I have to share this with you. I don't know if you saw this, but you know how 13 state attorney generals have joined this lawsuit against the health care mandate?
Right, including the attorney general of Nebraska, who doesn't apparently understand, who's never heard of mandatory auto insurance.
Right, exactly. You know, hey, if a mandate for health insurance is unconstitutional, so is a mandate for truck drivers to have insurance. Right?
Oh, absolutely.
Well, mandates actually have a lot of history, and this is what people need to understand. In Canada, they have a mandate. It's called taxes. This is something I picked up over at Daily Coast. This is the precedent, the original precedent by which the attempt to undo the mandate in court will fail.
1792?
It is the Militia Act of 1792.
The Second Militia Act of 1792.
The Second Militia Act of 1792.
What is it? A rifle, a knapsack, sufficient cartridges or balls which fit, and I love that Congress had to include this, which actually fit the rifle. Because, see, that had been a problem.
Mm-hmm.
You know, militia guys showing up with grandpa's old harquebuse. And nobody had anything that would fit it. So Congress had to act affirmatively to make sure, yes, you must go buy a rifle. Yes, you must have a knapsack. Yes, you must have a powder horn. You must have a sufficient amount of powder. And yes, the ammunition has to actually fit the firearm. and that was the part that I loved out of it, Matt, because under teabagger think, what that means is, Well, I have a constitutional unalienable right to have the wrong ammunition for my shooting gun. You almost hear him say it, can't you?
See, what people often don't understand is the Second Amendment began, it was put in there as an effort to socialize national defense.
There you go.
You know,
a well-regulated militia being necessary to the maintenance of a free state, the right to keep and arm bears will not be abridged.
That is correct. You will not build a bridge on them.
Nope, no bridges. Not even a pontoon. Hey, Matt, great talking to you, brother.
You too.
You take care.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye now. That's our Southeast correspondent, Matt Osborne, from OsborneInc.com, OsborneInc.com, and we continue. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hi, Bob. How you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. How about you?
This is Andy from New Jersey.
Ah, see, I conjured you.
Conjured me up, huh? Yeah, I heard you mention my name.
Yeah, Clayton also mentioned the need for some sort of transaction tax on stock transfers.
Right. Should bring it back. It's the right thing to do.
Yeah. I mean, you know, let's...
right thing to do.
You know, let's at least make that, you know, let's put it in there and get the revenue in and then make the Republicans repeal it someday, like they say they're going to do the health care bill.
I've got some statistics somewhere where the capital gains that come from capital gains tax that we have is so skewed to the upper echelon of our income demographics that it is ridiculous. The top 5% of income earners get 67% of the capital gains returns, and that's all for the most part for trading stock. So the top 5% is getting 67% of these gains. You can imagine the heavy hitters that are doing most of the trading. I mean, these are huge, large banks, brokerage houses, the large bulge bracket firms. I mean, they're the ones getting hurt, not the mom and pop. It's something like the bottom 60% of our population of income earners gets like 8% of the capital gains. So it's so skewed to the rich and the wealthy anyway. It's not going to hurt the middle class at all to put a tax there.
No.
Not at all.
And
just a joke. As usual in this country, that it'll hurt, you know, the average working man or something like that to do that. Baloney.
Pure and simple.
And also, I heard Matt just say, too, that about the nine-dimensional chest.
Yeah.
Matt Osborne, I don't know if you heard the Malloy Show had on Alan Grayson.
Yeah, I listened to that conversation.
And I think, as I remember, I think that's where I heard it, that Mike asked Grayson about that nine-dimensional chess, if he thought that's what Obama was playing in regards to health care. And Grayson just quickly answered, no. No. I pretend to agree. I mean, it has been so botched and so catch-as-catch-can the way this guy operates that if anything, I tend to believe he's way out of his league.
Well, you know, what I think it may wind up, my point, Andy, is that it may wind up being that simply because the insurance companies, being insurance companies, are going to behave in such a way that the entire United States is going to look at them and go, you know, we can't tolerate this anymore.
You know, the only thing that kills me is my sister's husband, health insurance for his company is supposedly going up 30 or 40%. He works for one of the cable companies. And the first thing she said was to blame it on Obama's plan. And that's what their company was telling them, that it's because of Obama's plan. And I go, how can that be? The government does not control the insurance prices. This whole plan is a plan of access. It's giving people access. It's not affordability. It's not controlling prices. That's done by the private insurance. Blame them. But already they are trying to spin this and that this is Obama's fault.
Oh, yeah.
It just never ends, you know?
Aetna CEO Ron Williams has told Charlie Rose, Some of the things that will drive those premiums are significant additional taxes the industry will ultimately have to pay in the first year. Which is just an outright lie, Andy. I mean, it's not even one of those things where it's a shading, you know, maybe it's a disagreement on interpretation. No, it's just a plain old lie.
They will do everything to distort, to obfuscate, to misrepresent, and to make it look like it's the fault of the Democratic Party. It is an amazing.
Right, just like it's the fault of the Democratic Party for bricks being put through windows. Just like William Crystal said today, that the Russians are at fault for the suicide bombings in the Russian, you know, the idea that some man on his way home from work in the subway in Russia is personally responsible for no, and it's just it's just evil and wholly immorally untruthful,
and yeah, morally bankrupt. I have another I have a story for you. Kind of dovetailing off of Matt's comment that he said to you about free thought and debate in this country. I went to get my hair cut on Friday, and I go into the, it's not really a barber shop because it does women as well, but go in to get my hair cut where I normally go, and I've been there dozens of times probably, and I give great tips. And I'm sitting down waiting for my turn. And the people in there, there's four people, they're talking about health care. And all of them were negative on the whole thing, on the whole bill. Talking about, all I heard were these, you know, right-wing talking points being thrown out without any kind of depth behind it. Like, socialism, this is a socialist plan. You can't force me. I'm not buying this. This is awful. We're being forced to buy this. They won't let them sell across state lines. This is Obamacare. You just have to be working. Everybody should be working in this country. Everything's just fine with the insert. So I'm listening to this, and I'm just going, I know I got to say something here. I'm sorry. I can't handle this. If I'm going to be sitting here in a semi-public place. So I got up, and I started saying, how can you possibly call this a socialist system? It's private insurance companies. You're working with private insurance companies. And you don't think everybody should have insurance in this country? You know, I'm not a big fan of the Obama plan. I wanted 676, the Conyers, the Kucinich.
Yeah, me too.
Single payer. I'm totally on board with that. The 4798 from Grayson, same thing. Let's go. Let's get the insurance companies out. But I'm trying to stick up for the plan, and I'm trying to tell them, okay, you want to let insurance companies go across state lines? You want to have the usury, the same thing that happens with credit card companies? They just shop around for the state that has the most lax laws. I'm in this insurance business. I'm an analyst. I didn't actually tell them that. So I go, what it normally is done is the state of New York sets the insurance laws, and all the other states will copy all the provisions that the state of New York does because that's usually the toughest insurance laws in the country. And that's what the insurance companies hate. They hate it when the other states match the toughest insurance laws. And that's normally what happens, and that's good for you. You don't want them going to South Dakota and doing something where they have no laws, where the insurance companies just set the laws, and they'll do anything they want, and they'll run roughshod. But anyway, they started filibustering me and talking over me. And finally, the owner of the store, this woman, keeps filibustering me and talking and saying I shouldn't be saying this stuff. Insurance is fine in this country. Everything's fine. Obama shouldn't be fooling around with this. And she goes, you can either sit down or you can get a haircut and keep your mouth shut or you can leave. It only took me a few seconds to think of what I was going to do. And I said, you know, you guys are ignorant. You are really ignorant. You know, if you want to remain ignorant, that's fine with me. But I'll go bring my business somewhere else. So I walked out, right? Saturday morning, I'm getting cleaned up. I'm doing my laundry. I'm shaving. Matter of fact, I'm right in the middle of shaving. I get a knock on my door. It's two policemen.
Huh?
What were you doing in that barber shop? They said you almost started a riot in there, that you intimidated all those people. What? Are you? They said, you're a really big guy. You know, like 6 foot, 170 pounds. I'm that big?
I mean, what are you kidding me? They go, they were really open. But there were like four of them. Everybody in the shop was against me. Four against one. I go, I was just trying to have a debate, trying to enlighten, trying to go back. They didn't want to. You know, they just had their opinion, and my opinion didn't matter. I mean, but they actually called the cops on me. And the cops said, don't you ever step foot in that shop again. If you do, you will be arrested on the spot. Don't ever go back there. This is America, where you have free debate and free thought. How about that, Bob?
Yeah, that Jesus.
How do you like that?
That's,
You talk about ignorance and people that they don't want to hear another opinion. There's only one answer.
No, and that's why I've said time and again that this, and I saw it over the weekend with that one little post from the guy who was talking about the inalienable rights language contained in the Constitution. You know, and if you point it out to them, they just stick their fingers in their head and scream la 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 louder and louder and louder. And if that doesn't work, they will resort to, you know, some sort of sleazy tactic.
Right.
I mean, did these guys in blue have any comprehension of what had gone on? How did you intimidate them 4-on-1?
Well, first they asked for my side of the story, and then they told me how I intimidated them. They were older people in there. They were afraid of me. Afraid of me? They shut me up. And then they said, you know, they thought I was going to cause problems. I go, I was reading a newspaper. I was told to leave, and I left. You know, it wasn't like, I mean, I had a choice whether I wanted to get my hair cut and shut up, or I could just, you know, leave. Those were my choices. Get the hair cut, keep your mouth shut, or you could leave. And I took the latter option. It wasn't like I hung around. And I go, you think I'm going back there? The only time I go there is to get a haircut. I mean, what is this? It's like Andy of Mayberry,
right.
You know? I go
right
there, and I took another time for that.
And, you know, it's interesting. This is a little bit crazy, and we're running out of time. But my grandfather was notorious for hanging around the barbershop back, you know, long ago. And my grandfather was a righteous Democrat. And the Republican was the barber was a fire-breathing Republican. And they would sit in there and howl at it. You know, they'd howl at each other all day long. And that's not permissible in America anymore, Andy. It's just not. Because, you know, the right wing has been taught that when you are being beaten in an argument, or when you feel like, you know, you're on the wrong, on the downside of an argument, what you do is you scream louder. You know, the fact of the matter is, you know, the Flush and Hannity and O'Reilly and Savage and their screaming have taught a certain segment of America what dialogue and discussion means anymore. And what it means is the right of the right wing to overscream, overtalk, shout down anything with which they disagree. That there is no such thing as reasoned discourse anymore.
Right. Civil debate, civil discourse.
No, you just scream communist and keep screaming communist even louder. And when you leave, you call the cops and say they threatened me. The communists threatened me.
Right.
Jesus.
There was a socialist in here. You don't let them people get haircuts. Damn if we'll ever let him in here.
But you know what? I have to say, I'm proud of you for at least speaking up. Not that me being proud of you matters, but it's a common running theme of what we do here is trying to empower people to speak out and speak up and not just sit there and listen to this right-wing hogwash, because, you know, I'm sure you're familiar with the concept that silence is acceptance.
Mm-hmm.
And we simply cannot accept that stuff anymore. Andy, I got a roll, but good talking to you, my friend.
All right, Bob.
All right, I'm glad you didn't go to the clink.
I wondered that too.
First degree seditious barber haircut reception. I don't know.
Absolutely.
All right.
Four against one, they could say anything.
Yeah, exactly. Good thing you got out of there before you started throwing bombs or something.
Four-letter words did not happen, but they could make it up.
And they would. That's the other thing. You know,
yeah.
if the facts don't suit, make some up. That's right, straight out of the right-wing playbook. Andy, take care. We'll talk soon.
Bye-bye.
Bye now. And that, unfortunately, brings us, with several blinking lights yet remaining, to the end of the program. I've run over. It's time for Malloy, dadgummit. 30 seconds till Malloy time, so you guys hustle on over to MikeMalloy.com. And in the meantime, have a great evening. Thanks to everybody who helps this program to go, and that includes the people who contribute to keep the show going. We are so close to actually making our March fundraising goal that it's astonishing. It's so close, but not there. At any rate, thank you. Thank you. You're the reason this happens. In the meantime, thanks also always go out to Sue, to Lottie, to our news ninjas, Gene and Susan, to our blogger, Texas Betsy, to Peter Godbold, John Fox, Ben Birch, Matt Osborne, as you heard, is our Southeast correspondent. My head writer is David in Tennessee. And the program also happens as a result of the dedication of the hardest working, bravest people I know, the folks at Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net, and ColeRiverWind.org. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you.
Cussin' and a discussin' with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! Goodness gracious, wasn't it a busy little weekend for the Morans? Holy mackerel! Oh, yeah, it is Moran Monday on the horn, without a doubt. Absolute L.A. freeway traffic jam-sized lines of little clown cars pouring Morans out into the Moranosphere. We got oodles of Morans for Moran Monday. Deadly Morans, crazy Morans, stupid Morans, illiterate Morans, 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 Morans. Hurry, hurry, hurry. Get your program. You cannot tell the Morans one from another without your program. Behind this thin veil of radio canvas, you will see right-wing Morans that will amaze you. Right-wing Morans that will shock you. Right-wing Morans that will stun you. You will laugh. You will cry. You will do it all until you stop on Moran Monday on the horn. Hurry, hurry, hurry. No, really. There's some real creeps out there this time through. And there's serious stuff. Serious creeps. My God, this bus that went down in Ohio, Michigan, and where else? Of these militia Morans? Morans for Jesus with guns? look, we know. That I realize that there's a bit of an echo chamber going on here since we don't allow the right-wing freakazoids access to the program. But even I was a little, I have to admit, even jaded me, jaded old Bob, was a little bit surprised by the scope